Jim Davis Show. Call or text the team line at 970-242-1340 on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Rise and shine. Happy Friday. Welcome in.
Hell yeah.
Jim Davis, along with Cake, Buffalo Mark from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios.
All right.
On the doorstep of getting it started tomorrow, the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. Talk with Central Arizona coach Anthony Gillich coming up at 8:20 this morning. Also, Colorado Mesa, the Mavericks trying to get to their own World Series, the D2 World Series in Cary, North Carolina. Angelo State, the opponent tonight down in San Angelo, Texas. And just a reminder for Mav fans that we will have that game tonight and also the game tomorrow, maybe games tomorrow. It's the best 2 out of 3 with Angelo State. All those games on 92.7, 1100 KNZZ. Tonight, 5:45, Mavericks and Angelo State in the first game of that best 2 out of 3 down in San Angelo, Texas. So Mavericks will be on our sister station. We'll have the Rockies on tonight. 6 o'clock when they take on the Baltimore Orioles. And, of course, all your Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series coverage right here on the Team JUCO Radio Network starting tomorrow morning, 8:20. First game, Walter State takes on Cali. Between them, they have won 3 national championships, but this will be the first time they will meet against each other in the Junior College Baseball World Series. So looking forward to it. Banquet tonight. Looking forward to hearing from Tom Bernanski, the former Minnesota Twin.
Not Tom Emanski.
Not Tom Emanski. Which,
the Griff.
Yeah. And you too. The big foam front hat. I was funny, I was giving Brad McLeod and the JUCO committee grief because when they first announced Tom Bernanski, Brad said, "Oh, Tom Emanski, that'd be kind of, I guess, kind of cool." And I thought he was joking. And the other day I saw Brad and I go, you were kidding about that, right? And he's like, "No, he really did think that Tom Emanski," for those of you that didn't watch ESPN long, long time ago, back in the 80s, 90s, there was the Tom Emanski instructional baseball video, and Fred McGriff, the former Brave, Tampa Bay Ray, remember Fred McGriff, the end of his career as a Tampa Bay Ray, that he was the one, you know, "I personally endorse this," and he had this, the old foam front hat on, looked like, you know, something that your dad or granddad might have wore playing slow pitch softball back in the day.
Oh boy.
And those videos were on all the time, particularly late night on ESPN. And so Brad really did think that Tom Emanski was coming, but no, Tom Bernanski.
Minnesota Twin.
Teammate of JUCO great Kirby Puckett will be in town to speak tonight. So it should be a great banquet tonight to kick things off for the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. If you're in town for the series, we welcome you to Grand Junction. If it's your first time or if you've been here before, welcome back to town. We're glad to have you here for the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. Looking forward to it. And so we'll talk with Anthony Gillich, also state tournament baseball. The Delta Panthers flying the flag of the Western Slope over to the Front Range. They'll take on Alamosa. We'll talk with Steve Ryer, their coach, coming up at 7:40. This morning. And of course, it is Friday, which means it's a free-for-all Friday. Anything that's on your mind, you want to talk Rockies baseball, you want to talk about Broncos, anything. We've got Mark, of course, in today. If you want to talk a little Avs hockey, you can do that. We'll get Mark's thoughts about the Stanley Cup Final with Boston and St. Louis, the rematch of the 1970 Stanley Cup Final.
Mm-hmm. Blues, of course, came in 1968 when the NHL expanded. Went to 3 consecutive Stanley Cup finals in their first 3 years of existence.
And everybody thought the Vegas Golden Knights was such a great story.
Yeah.
I mean, people kind of forget about the St. Louis Blues, those first 3 years. People are like, wow. They were tearing everybody up, and it was a sustained excellence. And you'll give the Vegas Knights credit. They got back to the playoffs this year. Didn't get to the Cup final, but yeah, what the Blues did back then.
Crazy.
Mind-blowing.
Yep.
So we'll get some of Mark's thoughts on that. Anything you want to comment on today? Your thoughts about the Alpine Bank JUCO World Series? Who are you going to be rooting for? Okay, that'll be the question we ask you today. Ooh. None of us can answer that.
No,
obviously.
Right.
We're in the business of being impartial.
Plus, I have a tendency to jinx teams.
Yeah, so. You don't want Buffalo Mark getting on your bandwagon.
You don't want his endorsement.
Because that, if the moment he gets on your bandwagon, it catches on fire.
Yeah.
The wheels come off of it, and it's chaos and destruction.
I have learned to not become invested.
So none of us are going to get behind anybody. But what about you? Who are you rooting for at this year's Junior College World Series? I know we have a lot of folks from the state of Iowa that live out here. Are you buying Iowa Western? Do you like the guys from Tennessee, Arizona? We have Arizona, of course, our neighbors out here in the West. Are you behind them, the Western District champion? There's always the feeling, because the Colorado teams qualify out of the Western District as well, that the West is kind of where a lot of people tend to go in
right.
terms of their rooting interests. Is it the kids from Monroe, New York, who were so fun last year? Yeah, a lot of those guys are gone, but
it's hard not to like that team. And I know yeah. I'm an analyst and I'm neutral, but
and you're from New yeah. York.
Well,
so.
You know what? Though? That's the other side of the state. That's 500 miles away.
But still, though, it's in your native state, though.
Yeah, but yeah, it's hard to not at least quietly root for those guys. It's a good story.
Yeah, it's a really good story. And I think last year they, Lou Melendez, they were happy to be here. Now they want to do a little more than just. Be happy to be here. They'd like to make a run in this tournament. And Connor State, Oklahoma. Who are you behind in the Junior College World Series? Who are you rooting for? You can text us. Bob Scott, RV Team Text Line. And really, this weekend kind of kicks off camping season. Noticed our buddy Chris Britt, who occasionally pops in on the show, has the camper hooked up, ready to go.
So
to
that's the trailer.
To the Grand Mesa, yep. He's ready to go. So
I already heard two conversations on the other side of the building this morning about camping.
Yeah. So. And so maybe it's time to get a new camper. Or maybe you're thinking, maybe I need to get a little work done on my camper before I really get into the meat of camping season. Make sure you get out to Bob Scott RV. They're just a little bit west of the Love and Pilot stores out on the highway as you head out toward Fruita. So you can text us or you can call us. We always love to hear from you. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, same number for both, 970-242-1340, 970-242-1340. So we got things started last night. Fortunately, the weather cooperated for the kids' clinic and for the Challenger games.
There's a little touch and go there for a bit.
It was. Not looking really good yesterday afternoon for a while, but Mother Nature gave us a little bit of a window to work with there. And we're supposed to have good weather throughout the weekend. Monday, we could see some showers a little bit, but it's looking good for the weekend. But always a nice start with the Challenger games. You can just the players just really love being the buddies for the kids in the Challenger program, the young men and women that are involved in that program, which Karma Brown and Kelly Hamilton do a great job running. Always a great way to start out the JUCO World Series and the Kids Clinic. I know they had, I think, the largest number of pre-registrations, which we make the joke about around here that pre-register, I'll just show up when it starts. I mean, nobody likes to pre-register in Grand Junction. 200 pre-registrations, which
that's good.
Made life a lot easier for our friend Kenny Johnson with the Kids Clinic last night. So. Great way to start out the tournament with those events. And, of course, the banquet tonight with Tom Bernanski, the former Minnesota Twin. Looking forward to hearing what Tom has to say tonight to the teams and the folks at the banquet this evening. All right, 7:10. So text us or call us. Which JUCO team you're rooting for if you got something else on your mind? 970-242-1340. Get to what's happening in a moment. Just a couple things. First, you've got to hope that the Charlie Blackmon calf injury does not turn into a big deal, because Charlie's been red hot lately.
Yeah.
That offense would suffer mightily if Charlie has to be shut down for a while. It's very much a day-to-day situation with his right calf. But they took him out yesterday, and hopefully Charlie Blackmon will not have any lingering problems with that calf. Also, Nikola Jokic, congratulations to the Joker. First team All-NBA. Well, I mean, first guy since David Thompson in the late 70s to make the first team for the Denver Nuggets. Think about that. You have to go all the way back. It's what, 77, 78, the last time a Nugget player, David Thompson, made the first team All-NBA. And then, well-deserved, should be there. And then you have the Klay Thompson thing. I agree with Klay Thompson. How is that guy not on an all-NBA team? How does that guy not make an all-NBA team?
He didn't make any of the three of them.
No, none of them. He didn't.
None
he did
them.
Not mess. I mean, he did not make any first, second, or third team all-NBA. How? How does that happen? Cost him $30
million. $30 million.
Yeah. I don't get that. Maybe because I'm biased. I'm a huge Clay Thompson fan. I don't get that.
He took it remarkably well.
Yeah, I like the fact he said, you know what? I'll trade a championship for any of that.
For a guy who lost out on 30 mil, he is taking it well. But let's also not forget that instead of a $220 million contract, he's going to make $190 million. Oh, boo-hoo. But to the point of why didn't he make any of the three teams, he didn't make it in, but LeBron James did. And I know they play different positions, but LeBron James did not have a LeBron James year.
Yeah.
And he still made the third team. How does that, how?
Kimball Walker's the one who edged out Klay Thompson.
We'll talk about this more later in the show. But I want to throw something out there for people to stew on for a little bit, because this is what I do. Is the Joker really a first-team All-NBA player? A first-teamer?
I think so.
Well, I'll tell you what. This shows you how much the NBA values defense, because he doesn't even bother getting down court sometimes.
It's all about the fact that he fills up a score sheet.
Right.
Assist, rebound, score. I mean, that's what the Joker's never going to make an all-NBA defensive team.
He's not going to make it an NBA effort team.
You know, I'll be honest with you, as much as I'm happy for him, I think he deserves it to a point. But I really feel like he's maybe more in this situation a second team guy at this juncture of his career. Deserves to be there. I think there's no, and I don't have a major problem being first team. Might be a bit of a stretch. If the defense is a little bit better, I'd feel better about him being first team.
Right.
But as a Nuggets fan, I'm torn. As a commentator, I'm like, I'm not so sure he deserves to be there on one of those teams. Second team, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
First team might be a reach. As a fan, I'm thrilled to death for him.
I agree with you, Jim. As a fan, obviously, I love first team. I think, though, there were long stretches of time where he was in the conversation for a potential MVP.
Yep, early on in particular.
And I think that puts him at first team caliber. If you're talking about at any point in the season him being the MVP, that to me says at least first team. Yeah, okay, if he makes second team, that's perfectly fine. But hey, first team, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. As a Nuggets fan, I'm happy for him. And I just this thing with Klay Thompson, I don't get that. I just don't get how Klay Thompson does not make any of the three all-NBA teams. He's costing $30 million because he would have kicked in a Supermax contract opportunity for him. I just don't get it.
You think maybe the Warriors were like, called up the all-team voters and said, hey, don't put Klay on any of the teams because we're a little short on cash right now. We can't really afford that extra $30 million.
Yeah, we're not sure who we're going to be able to keep around. Do we want to keep Kevin Durant around?
No.
Looking at it, you got Kimball Walker's numbers here in front of me. Just very quickly, look at some of these things. He averaged 25.6 points per game. Klay Thompson averaged 21.5. Okay, Kimball Walker has the scoring edge there. Walker, almost 6 assists a game. Thompson, about 2.4. But Klay Thompson is a bigger three-point weapon. Kimball Walker, his numbers, yeah, they're better than Klay Thompson's.
But Klay Thompson's going to the NBA Finals.
I just think there has to be a spot where Klay Thompson makes one of these three teams. He gives up a lot of his scoring opportunities to a Durant when Durant's there.
Or to Curry, yeah.
He has his niche in that offense. He could be a much bigger star someplace else.
Clay,
we'd love to have you in Denver, by the way.
There's a couple eyebrow-raising things here. Russell Westbrook. The NBA is all about offense and offensive flair. Russell Westbrook is third-team NBA?
Yeah.
Really? But teammate Paul George his first team? Come on. And look, I'm not dissing Paul George. He's a great player.
He's a really good player. Yeah, I agree.
But there's no way he's first team and Westbrook is third team.
It's just... Or Klay Thompson doesn't make one of these
exactly.
teams. It's just ridiculous. Not that Kemba Walker wasn't deserving, but Klay Thompson should have made it in somewhere. All right, 7-17. Free for all Friday, anything on your mind? Rockies get 2 out of 3 in Pittsburgh.
Oh, but that third one, though.
The third one. Dig yourself the hole. Bury yourself up to your neck. Dig yourself out of the hole and then...
Home run.
Get the bucket loader and just dump all the dirt back on top of you. They lost to the Pirates yesterday, 14-6.
Poor Jack and Jerry. It got to the point where they were just, and that's another Pirate run.
There we go. They're so excited. Got down to a 2-run deficit. All right, here we go. Here we go. And nope. At least they won 2 out of 3. At least they win the series. Need to do better than that at home.
Against Baltimore,
one of the worst teams in baseball coming in. All right, let's get to...
What's happening?
All right, start things out with the Rockies yesterday. The Rockies couldn't nab the sweep in Pittsburgh Thursday afternoon. In fact, they got pounded by the Pirates in Game 3, losing 14-6 at PNC Park. The Rocks fall to 22-26 on the year. Antonio Cincitella takes a loss, going just over 3 innings and giving up 8 runs. Colorado will dust it off to start up a 10-game homestand tonight, the first of 3 against Baltimore. Game 1, it's righty Jeff Hoffman on the bump for the Rocks against John Means for Baltimore. Starts at 6 tonight on the Team Sports Network. After falling to the Pirates yesterday, the Rockies have some potentially bad news. Denver Post reporting that Charlie Blackmon injured his right calf in yesterday's game. Blackmon says it's too early to tell if he'll miss any games because of it. Team trainers are monitoring it closely, so we'll see how things go for Charlie Blackmon over the next few days. Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic is considered one of the rising stars in the NBA. The selection to the All-NBA team adds to the growing resume. Joker was named to the All-NBA first team and is the first Denver player to make the All-NBA first team since David Thompson in 1977-78. He's the 7th Nugget to be named to the All-NBA team. While the Junior College World Series gets started tomorrow in Grand Junction, the Colorado Mesa baseball team's quest to the D2 World Series continues tonight in San Angelo, Texas. The Mavericks won the South Central Region 1 tournament, and they face Angelo State in the Super Regional Tournament. Mavs skipper Chris Hank says their pitchers will face a test against the Rams' bats.
Well, they've been one of the most, if not the most, offensive teams in the nation the entire year. They've led several categories, batting average. They're in the top 4 in the country in stolen bases. They're very athletic. They're very fast throughout their lineup.
The winner of the best 2 out of 3 tournament moves on to the D2 World Series in Cary, North Carolina, 1100 KNZZ, 92.7 FM. We'll have tonight's game with pregame at 5:45. Speaking of the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series, the Chattahoochee Valley Alabama Pirates are back in Grand Junction, making it through another tough Southeastern District crowd. The Pirates come in at 35-18, and they're hitting just .279 as a team, which is 114th in the country. Pirates head coach Hunter Vick says they've had to overcome a few things this year, one of which substantially affected their offense.
We got out to a slow start at the beginning of the year offensively, and to their credit, we hadn't had a batting cage all year. We may be the only team ever make it without a batting cage. And our guys didn't make excuses or whatnot, and that kind of allowed us to start out slow but stayed together.
Pirates take on New Mexico JC Saturday. Coverage begins tomorrow morning at 8:20 on the Team JUCO Radio Network. Going to the NBA last night, Eastern Conference Finals. Kawhi Leonard scored 35, and it was Toronto beating Milwaukee last night, 105-99. The Raptors now lead that series over the Bucks, 3-2. Colorado Mesa sprinter Brooklyn York is into the finals, the 100-meter dash of the D2 track and field finals in Kingsville, Texas. York ran the fastest time in program history yesterday with a time of 11.51. Finals are tomorrow. Mavs pole vaulter Nolan Ellis failed to make it to the finals. He finishes his CMU career as the school's most decorated track and field athlete. Ellis is a 5-time All-American and a former indoor national champion. Colorado Mesa softball player Anne-Marie Torres is an All-American. The Mavericks first baseman was named to the All-America first team by the National Fast Pitch Coaches Association and the D2 Collegiate Commissioners Association. The junior led the RMAC in batting average at .458. Teammate Kayla Jacoby was named to the honorable mention team. And that's a quick look at
what's happening.
All right, 7:21, Jim along with Cake and Buffalo Mark. Steve Ryer, Delta baseball coach, coming up at 7:40 as the Panthers take on Alamosa in the 3A state tournament. We'll have that, and also Central Arizona coach Anthony Gillich coming up at 8:20 this morning. Who are you rooting for at JUCO? Love to hear from you on that today. To win Qdoba or Fat Tire, you must contribute. So who are you rooting for in JUCO? Thoughts on the Rockies? They win 2 out of 3 in Pittsburgh, but that last game, an ugly, ugly loss. After some close losses to Philadelphia, close loss to Boston yesterday, they got blown out. Yeah, they got close, but then got blown out. Got blown out twice, basically, yesterday by the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Three, a tale of three different games.
Yeah. Your thoughts on Nikola Jokic? Is Nikola Jokic really a first-team All-NBA-er? Should be on one of those teams, I agree. I tend to think, I'm happy for him. He's a first-team guy. It's an overreach to have him on the first team by a big margin. It is a small stretch, though, to have him on the first team.
For me, it's eye test versus stat sheet. You know, you can't deny the numbers, but if you watch him play or not play at times, you wonder, is he a first teamer?
Yeah. But we all agree, though. All NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely should. Probably second team. Definitely a second team player. All right, 7:23. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for the Jim Davis Show. Call or text the team line at 970-242-1340. Streaming on the team app. And you can ask Alexa to play 1340 The Team. Colorado sports leader, The Team.
At Strive, we just recently moved into a new building. We had made plans to purchase all new equipment and upgrade our phone systems. ComWest decided that we could use the equipment that we already had and repurpose a lot of that and really save us a ton of money. Their service is impeccable. I mean, all we have to do is pick up the phone and they have somebody there to take care of what we need. You can't function without a good quality communication system, and ComWest makes sure that we have that. We are very pleased with ComWest.
At ComWest, your communications is our business. Call us at 242-8142.
Stunning street rod, a mind-blowing muscle car, a boss bike, or an over-the-top truck. NBC Grand Radio and Grand Junction Parks and Rec are giving you a chance to show it off at our 5th annual Chrome and Bruce Car Show, June 29th. Kick off the weekend with exciting Friday night drag racing. Then on Saturday, it's Western Colorado's premier car show and the only one that's held under the trees at Lincoln Park. Discount Tire and Integra Motorsports are presenting a special appearance by customizing wizard Bill Carlton of Extensive Metalworks, who you may have seen on the show Texas Metal. Enter your ride now for a chance to win trophies and prizes in a variety of categories. Registration is $25 in advance, $35 the day of the show, and the first 75 entries get a free t-shirt and dash plaque. Be a part of the 5th annual Chrome and Bruce Car Show, powered by A&A Auto Customs. Save the date, Saturday, June 29th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Lincoln Park. To register, stop by our studios or go to chromeandbruce.com.
Time to sell or trade your car? We'll beat the books. Hi, this is Trish at Modern Classic Motors, and I need inventory. If you've gotten a Kelley Blue Book instant cash offer, bring it in, and I'll pay you up to $3,000 more than their price. That's right. Whether you're looking to trade in your vehicle or sell it outright, we'll help you get up to $3,000 more than your Kelley Blue Book instant cash offer. Stop in or go to modernclassicmotors.net and take advantage of this great limited-time offer only at Modern Classic Motors on Independent Avenue in front of Sam's Club.
Your home is a reflection of you. It's important to keep it clean. Hi, this is Bryce with First Impressions Window Cleaning. From everyday dirt and grime to stubborn hard water stains, we can make your home sparkle like new. We use an advanced pure water system and eco-friendly products to give you an immaculate clean without damaging your surfaces. We also offer pressure washing and gutter cleaning. Call today for a free estimate. That's First Impressions Professional Window Cleaning, 970-778-5376. Or visit us on the web at firstimpressionsdj.com.
Team weather.
Partly sunny in the Grand Valley and Delta today, high near 66, 63 in Montrose. Mostly clear, 44 tonight. Sunny tomorrow, high near 75. Sunday, sunny and 78. Monday, partly sunny and 66.
The Jim Davis Show.
They've got to get a clue. But no one seems to be doing it.
On in Grand Junction, 101.1 and 1340. The Team Sports Network.
Jim along with Tyler, Buffalo Mark from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. More new Black Keys.
Yes, sir.
Man. Looking forward to that album. Let's Rock, June 28th on Dan Auerbach's Easy Eye Records label. Dan's doing a lot of his own stuff now, so through his own label. Looking forward to it.
Hey, you know, if you've had the success he's had, might as well do it for your own
thing. Yeah, exactly. Do your own thing. Yeah, I really liked the first couple songs I've heard off this new album.
This one's called Eagle Bird. It's a very, like, hard rock and blues kind of deal.
Yeah, it's got a really nice sound to it. Yeah, no doubt about that. And Low High's a really good song, too. The first one off that new album. All right, 727. Well, you're in for JUCO this year. Well, you're getting by New Mexico, Arizona, Tennessee with Walter State, Monroe College out of New Rochelle, New York, Chipola. Chipola looking for a third straight national championship.
Isn't that where Dick Van Dyke lived? New Rochelle,
yeah, it was
right?
New Rochelle, yeah. Where Dick and Mary Tyler Moore lived on the Dick Van Dyke show.
Tripping over the stool there,
yeah.
The ottoman, the Davenport. No, it's not the Davenport, but yeah.
Yeah, an ottoman?
Yeah, it must be the ottoman.
Yeah.
Anybody under the age of 30 has got no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, the old Dick Van Dyke show, which I remember seeing in reruns because, you know, we're still even too young to have watched it when it was actually on,
right.
or at least remembered it anyway.
Some of that stuff was hysterical. Rosemarie was a riot.
Carl Reiner was was great as the boss,
right.
As the host of the show that he wrote for. For one other thing, since we're on the sitcom deal, did you guys see the All in the Family and Jefferson's live?
I did not see it, but I was like, okay, this is...
I thought it was really good. I thought it was... You know, I'll say Woody Harrelson could have tried to maybe be a little more Archie Bunker than he was.
In what way? He could have been like more acerbic?
He was okay. I thought Marissa Tomei was surprisingly good as Edith Bunker. She, like, threw herself into it. And Jamie Foxx was great as George Jefferson. Especially when he screwed up.
That's got his name all over it.
Oh, yeah. He was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was, Wanda Sykes was great as Wheezy. And I thought it was a lot of fun to see those little Norman Lear shows brought back to life.
I'm going to have to look it up, yeah. Wanda Sykes is, man, Wanda Sykes for me, very small doses.
Yeah, but she's good in this.
Okay.
She's good because they used the scripts from the original show.
Although I will say, Wanda Sykes was brilliant in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Which I've dabbled in, I've watched a little bit. I haven't watched a ton of it.
She was really good in that.
Yeah, but check it out, though. It's the ABC, Jimmy Kimmel put it all together. It's kind of a tribute to Norman Lear. And Marla Gibbs is in it as Florence. She's the only one of the original cast that... of any of those shows that came back and did anything. Will Ferrell's in the Jeffersons one. It's really good.
Okay.
Kerry Washington. I mean, it's got a ton of...
Is Will Ferrell... I mean, don't spoil it here for me, but is he... Who would that be? The neighbor?
He's one of the neighbors.
Okay.
Remember, there was a British neighbor.
Uh-huh.
And then there was the other one that was married to Lenny Kravitz's mom in real life.
Yeah.
Roxy Roker, I believe. And so, yeah, he's one of those two guys on that show.
Cool.
So make sure you check it out.
All right.
I mean, even Kimmy Schmidt, even Ellie Kemper, she's in the All in the Family one. She's Gloria.
Mm.
So it's really good. Check it out if you get a chance to do it the other night. All right, 7:31. Jim along with Cake in Buffalo. Mark, Rockies yesterday falling in Pittsburgh. Oh boy! They end up losing 14-6, but they got it down 8-6, right? And they got within two runs.
They got it close,
and then they just got blown out the rest of the way. Not a good game for Antonio Sensatella. Goes just over three innings. He gave up 8 runs. Here is Bud Black after the game talking about the Charlie Blackmon calf injury, and about at least his team. Trying to get up off the mat and trying to come back in this one.
Had a little bit of a calf situation that we're going to monitor. We were very cautious with that, so nothing really more I can add to that, except we took him out for precautionary reasons for the calf. Well, again, I think if you really dissect it, you know, we were in every single game. You know, this one didn't look like it, right? but we got there. So the two games in Boston, the three in Philly, you know, his first two here we got, and then today, you know, we didn't look like we were in it, but here we come at 8-6. So, you know, our guys keep playing. So that's a good sign that we're in every game.
It's a good sign, bud, but the fact is that you're 9 games out of first place. The Rockies are 6-7 in series this season. They have 4 splits. They win this series, which that's good.
But at what cost?
But Charlie Blackman might have a nagging injury now. You come back, you're down by 2, but you end up getting blown out 14-6. And you have to start, you need to start sweeping some series here against teams like Pittsburgh. These are the games that Bud Black has talked about in the past. The 42 games that are not divisional games, games that can really decide whether or not you make the playoffs. And not that losing this one game will keep the Rockies from making the playoffs, but it speaks to the inability to go and take care of business against, you know, the Pittsburgh's not horrible. They came in playing some pretty good baseball, but if you're as good as everybody hyped you up to be, including us on this program, going to contend for the division, which is a long shot right now, or at least get back for a third straight year as a wild card, those are series you need to go into Pittsburgh and win and sweep. You won the series. That's great. You needed a sweep there yesterday. You needed Sensatella to not go out and give up 8 runs, put you in a big hole, dig out of it, and then bullpen comes in and dumps more gas in the fire. Carlos Estevez, he hit 3 home runs off of him.
Bracketed around a Brendan Rodgers error.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about Brendan Rodgers for a second. And I know it's still relatively early in his time up in the Rockies uniform. He's been a little bit of a disappointment so far. And not just because of the error offensively. He's just not been producing.
He had a double the other day, not yesterday, but the day before, in the win against Pittsburgh in the second game. I speak for the Buckeye boy as well. We were talking about this yesterday, that at some point he's got to get more time at second base. If he is going to be the anointed one, right?
The replacement for DJ LeMahieu.
If you feel like now is the time, because you've give up some control here of him as far as starting the clock early.
You gave up a year.
You probably should be playing him a lot more than you're playing him right now.
Right. Otherwise, why is he up?
What was the point? Then.
No, you know what? He is hitting .294. He had 2 ribbies yesterday. But he looks comfortable enough at the plate. In the field, however, he looks like yesterday. That was a routine major league play that he just made an unforced, forgive the phrasing, but an error that could have easily been avoided.
But you've got to let him play through that stuff.
Exactly.
If you think that he's going to be, if he's the answer, he's going to be part of a dynamite middle infield of Story and Rodgers, then you better let him get the innings, get the starts, get the reps. And you're going to have to live with some of that.
Oh, the growth process might well be painful. You know, the whole teething process might be painful, but it's something they're going to have to go through, because there's no other reason for him to be brought up than to go through this.
You know, and you look at where the Rockies are from a pitching standpoint. They rank 15th in park adjusted pitching and 15th in overall hitting. That's just from FanGraphs. That's some of the stuff that Brian Gumbel hates. The one on his tirade the other night on Real Sports.
I don't even know what park adjusted pitching is, but I do know that they have the highest opponent's batting average and they have the highest ERA in the National League. Those are the only two things I need to know right now.
34% of their at-bats are strikeouts.
Right.
those numbers, like they scored 6 runs yesterday, though. That should have been good enough to win a game. On the road, but not with this group right now. You know, it looks like Marquez has clearly established himself as the best pitcher in 2019 for the Rockies.
Which is troubling.
Because
we all thought it was going to be whom?
Kyle Freeland.
Right.
Look, John Gray, he gave up another home run the other night. But John Gray pitched really well.
I feel badly for him.
Poor Josh Gray.
Giving up the tater every time.
Yeah. Josh Bell hits that thing to the Allegheny. The good thing about Gray was, at least in that start, refocused, went out and pitched really well the rest of the way. But they've got to start sweeping some series here against teams that they should be sweeping, because they put themselves in such a bad spot. And now they get a team this weekend with the Baltimore Orioles that are not a very good baseball team, that you would think they would go out and you'd like to see them. Gosh, I'll just take winning series as much as I talk about sweeping something. But the Orioles series, what? This is one they should sweep. Baltimore is a terrible baseball team. They should sweep them.
If they lose
at home, they should sweep them.
If they lose one of the games against the Orioles, that's when you hit the panic button. Right now, you know, the panic button's underneath the plastic covering. At this point, we've unlocked the key and lifted the covering. We wait to see what the Orioles series brings before we hit absolute panic, crisis mode, everyone freak out.
I'd say one thing, an encouraging thing, has been Daniel Murphy's been hitting the ball much, much better. Murphy looks like he's starting to kind of get into a bit of a groove now as part of that Rockies lineup. Had the 3-run home run the other night against Pittsburgh. Drove in a couple of runs yesterday when the Rockies started to come back in that game. That's encouraging, because they need Daniel Murphy to start doing some heavy lifting, especially if Charlie Blackmon, if that calf injury becomes a lingering problem, somebody's going to have to pick up his slack in the offense, and that guy's going to have to be Daniel Murphy. That's what they're paying him to do. So tonight, Jeff Hoffman gets a start for the Rockies, John Means for Baltimore. Pregame at 6 tonight on the team, Rockies and Baltimore Orioles.
You know, the other side of that coin with Murphy, while it's heartening to see him, you know, apparently start to get it, is that he's hitting 200 now, and he's been better. He's been better, and he's still hitting 200.
Well, that's the whole we talked about the other day. Buckeye Boy made the comment that he dropped his career batting average by 3 points. You know how bad of a start you have to get off to drop your career batting average?
It's
3 points.
It's almost statistically improbable.
You're really sucking if you drop it 3 points.
And given his history, he's due for another injury any day now.
That's the downside to me. You're thinking, okay, you get through the, you know, All-Star break, maybe he gets hurt, you know, and then he's out for a week or two. And that'd be okay if you're the Rockies, if you had to live with that. Because that's usually, he's more of a mid-season, seems like, guy that gets hurt.
Not this year.
No, right out of the gate. Fractured finger right out of the gate. All right, we'll have the game tonight, Rockies and the Orioles, 6 o'clock, with Jack Corgan and Jerry Schimmel. All right, it is 7:40. Who are you rooting for at JUCO? Thoughts about Nikola Jokic making the All-NBA first team? You can text or call us 970-242-1340. It's time for Soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Kate?
Spoiler warning for those who did not watch the finale of Game of Thrones. One of the actors from the show and starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, had some thoughts on the series finale.
You come down to the end, and Tyrion says the person with the best story is Bran. Who, by the way, 3 episodes ago said he wasn't Bran Stark anymore. No, Jon had a better story. Dany had a better story. Arya had a better story. Sansa had a better story. Tyrion had a better story. Varys had a better story. Bronn, a lot better story. Jaime, better story. Cersei, probably better stories. Any Baratheon, better story.
Well, who should have been on the throne?
I mean, I think Dany should have been on the throne. Here's the thing, though. Here's my last theory about it. I love the show, but, you know, the writers were also doing Star Wars, so I think they might have been a little busy this last season.
Whoa.
Throwing some shade there.
So much for the thanks for letting me be an extra on one of the episodes to the guys that write Game of Thrones.
You know what? Aaron Rodgers has lost all cred. Did you see his performance last night at the Bucks game trying to chug a beer?
Oh, God, that was
weak.
So bad.
Yeah.
Weak. Lame, Aaron. Lame.
To be fair, though, he's going up against his offensive lineman.
Yeah, but he didn't finish his beer.
But Bakhtiari chugged two beers, though.
But look, you know who's supposedly one of the greatest beer chuggers of all time? one Tom Brady, who supposedly routinely beat his offensive lineman in chugging beer.
I call BS.
No, I've seen the video.
I've seen the video.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
He kicked their butt.
Like it disappears.
Yeah.
Is that part of the TB12?
No, I do not think that is. I don't think that's part of TB12.
It's
no.
Frat level chugging.
Yeah.
What it is.
Tom is pretty darn good at that. Yeah. He's wicked good. He is. He's wicked good. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Speaking of wicked good, Delta Panthers baseball. They've been very good. And they're in the state tournament taking on Alamosa. Well, we'll talk with Steve Ryer, their head coach, next on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Here's the latest from the team sports desk.
Good morning. I'm Jim Davis. The Rockies couldn't get the sweep in Pittsburgh Thursday afternoon. They fell to the Pirates 14-6 in the third game of that series. Rockies take 2 out of 3. They're at home tonight to take on Baltimore. Pregame at 6 tonight on the Team Sports Network. Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic is considered one of the rising stars in the NBA, and his selection to the All-NBA team adds to the growing resume. Jokic was named to the All-NBA first team and is the first Denver Nuggets player to make the All-NBA first team since David Thompson in 1977-78. He's the seventh Nugget to be named to the All-NBA team. While the Junior College World Series gets started tomorrow in Grand Junction, the Colorado Mesa baseball team's quest for the D2 World Series continues tonight in San Angelo, Texas. The Mavericks won the South Central Region 1 tournament and face Angelo State in a Super Regional tournament. Mavs skipper Chris Hanks says their pitchers will face a test against the Rams' bats.
Well, they've been one of the most, if not the most, offensive teams in the nation the entire year. They've led several categories, batting average. They're in the top 4 in the country in stolen bases. They're very athletic. They're very fast throughout their lineup.
The winner of the best 2 out of 3 tournament moves on to the D2 World Series in Cary, North Carolina. 1100 KNZZ will have tonight's game with pregame at 5:45. And longtime Central assistant wrestling coach Clint Torrio has taken over as the Warriors' new head wrestling coach. Colorado Mesa softball player Anne-Marie Torres is an All-American. The Mavericks' first baseman was named to the All-America first team by the National Fast Pitch Coaches and Collegiate Commissioners Association. Teammate Kayla Jacoby was an honorable mention selection.
I have a 2007 Chrysler Pacifica. I was having transmission problems with it, and I took it into Baker Transmission. They were actually recommended to me by a couple of my friends. One of them's a lady that I work with. They're great. They're very friendly, great sense of humor. They just make you feel very welcome and did a really good job. If anybody out there has any issues with their transmission, definitely go to Baker Transmission.
For slips, drips, and funny shifts, call Baker's Transmission 245-6640.
Make no mistake about it. Freedom of religion is under attack in our country.
The largest gathering of conservatives each summer is held in Denver, Colorado. Join us for the 10th annual Western Conservative Summit, hosted by Colorado Christian University, July 12th and 13th at the Colorado Convention Center. This year's theme is Defending Religious Freedom and America's First Amendment. Hear from the nation's top conservative leaders. Attend informative workshops. Visit our massive exhibit hall and network with thousands of fellow conservatives. The Western Conservative Summit, July 12th and 13th at the Colorado Convention Center. Get your tickets today at WesternConservativeSummit.com. That's WesternConservativeSummit.com or by calling 877-798-5366. That's 877-798-5366.
Get your team ready and come to Charlie Dwellington. It's time to plan ahead. The big kickoff event for the 8th Annual Community Hospital St. Baldrick's Head Shaving Event is Saturday. It all starts at 1 o'clock with drink and food specials. There'll be outstanding items in the silent auction and live music with the Landward Rogues and Union of None. You can register your team and get more information about this year's event. Join us at Charlie Dwellington's from 1 to 4 for the kickoff for this year's St. Baldrick's Head Shaving Event.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Get a head start on your career while earning money to pay for college. Log on to NationalGuard.com to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities in the Army National Guard. Sponsored by the Colorado Army National Guard. Aired by the Colorado Broadcasters Association at this station.
I'm Libby Pulitzer in the KNZZ News Center. Relief for people with diabetes in Colorado. Governor Polis signed into law a bill capping the copay patients pay for insulin at $100 per month. More than 420,000 people in Colorado have diabetes, with average out-of-pocket costs for insulin ranging between $600 and $900 a month. If you are planning to camp in the G-Mug National Forest this weekend, better double-check first. Forest Service says even though snow may have thawed, most forest roads are impassable because of mud. Gates are closed on many of those roads, and rangers advising people to obey the gates. Maps of areas that are open are available at the Forest Service or on their website. Colorado's not completely drought-free, but it's as close as you can get. Despite some reservoir levels still below normal, for the first time in 20 years of monitoring, the U.S. Drought Monitor Colorado is reporting 99.9% of the state is drought-free. I'm Libby Pelletier in the KNZZ News Center.
Western Slope FM Sports, 101 Grand Junction, 98.7 Rifle, 100.1 Montrose. The team. The Jim Davis Show. It is good on Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Welcome back, Jim, along with Cake and Buffalo Mark. Who are you rooting for? JUCO. Text us, Bob Scott RV Team text line, 970-242-1340, or call us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line at 970-242-1340. So we had Nucla, who lost in the 1A state title game, but the Delta Panthers, they continue to carry the flag of the Western Slope into the 3A state baseball tournament. They have Alamosa over at Butch Butler Field in Greeley at noon today, and right now, on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, the coach of the Delta Panthers, Steve Ryer. Steve, we appreciate the time. I know it's a busy day for you, so thanks for squeezing us in.
Oh, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations to your ball club. You were able to take care of business at home with the win against Cortez, 9-4, and then you shut out Ken Denver 10-0 to move out of the regional part into the state tournament over in Greeley. But a really good weekend, in particular offensively for your ball club, with those 19 wins. You only gave up the 4 runs in 2 games.
Yeah, we swung it really well in the Kent Denver game. Cortez, they kept us out balanced a couple of innings, and we finally figured out a way to score some runs. We put some pressure on them a little bit on the bases, and kind of forced their hand a little bit. And then the Kent Denver game, we came out and swung it very well. We changed our approach a little bit in between games. We had too many big swings in that first game, and we went back to a singles approach, and that worked out pretty well for us. And then, Clayton Abila came in. He pitched that game against Ken Denver. Man, he flat got with it. He threw a lot of strikes, and he was pretty dominant.
Yeah, he won by the 10-run rule, and Clayton, as you referenced, gets a complete game victory. The 4 strikeouts, only gave up the 4 hits, gets the shutout. And then certainly, like you talked about, the offense definitely gave him the run support he was looking for with the 10 runs. And a really good day for Kobe Keller. Had he had a 3-hit day, excuse me, but you had 2 RBI day from Nathan Workman. You had a couple of RBIs as well from one of your senior leaders, and of course that would be for the Delta Panthers, would be Rowan Carmichael. So he drove in a couple of runs for you, Steve. I mean, those guys really delivered with some timely hits and took advantage of runners in scoring position.
Oh, most definitely. And, as I look back over the season, that's kind of the way it's been. Rowan's had a good year for us. He just seems to come up at the right time. And Nate Workman, I looked at his average, and it's not overwhelming by any means, but then you look at his RBI production, and you look at his timely hits. He's had some huge hits for us this year, and he's starting to get hot. So it's kind of a good feeling when your 9-hole guy is starting to get hot at the right time.
Delta Panthers coach Steve Ryer, they take on Alamosa at Greeley today in the 3A state baseball tournament. You look at your ball club, 21-4, Steve, a great season. Alamosa 15-8 on the season. Your opponent today at noon, and from a team batting standpoint, they've hit .296 this season. And really, the guy that's kind of led the way for them this season for the Mean Moose has been Caden Alonso. He's driven in 28 this season. He leads the team in RBIs. What have you seen and what have you heard about the Alamosa Mean Moose?
We actually played them twice early. They were our first loss, second game of the year. We didn't pitch well. I mean, they played pretty well, but I think that game we ended up giving up 11 walks and 6 of them scored. and we lost by 3 runs. So we saw him the next weekend in the Colorado Springs St. Mary's tournament, and we ended up getting a little bit of payback and beat him 13-8. So, you know, we're familiar with each other. You know, that can be good and bad, you know. We're trying to guess who they'll throw at us. Alonzo's one of those kids. He's pitched pretty well down the stretch, and the Luzon kid has pitched pretty well down the stretch. So, you know, bottom line, we have to come out and stay hot at the plate, and you know, pitchers have to throw strikes. If they throw strikes and keep us in the game, we're going to be in good shape just about whoever we play.
Well, Steve, I know you're busy. We appreciate the time. Of course, you'll take on the winner. You get the win against Alamosa University, Colorado Academy. That game is coming up at 9:30 this morning, and then you play the winner of that game at 2:30 today. And hopefully we'll be talking to you maybe next week about a state championship. And
hey, that would be great.
Celebrating that in Delta, that'd be fantastic. And I mean, what do you feel like your ball club learned from last year when you guys got to the postseason and unfortunately didn't go as far as you wanted to?
Right. You know, and it's funny, Jim, because we were talking about that the other day. You know, the last 2 years or the last 2 times we've made it to state, we've had that one dominant arm, you know, in Jasper Carmichael. And, you know, then we would kind of piece things together on the other teams. And this year, we don't necessarily have that one dominant arm. You know, we've got 5 or 6 guys that we can throw out as a starter any time, and they all know that. And I think, with that being said, I think our focus is a little bit more determined this year. You know, we stopped and hit yesterday, and that's probably as focused of a group as I've seen in my, you know, 24 years of doing this. So it was, you know, it's just a different feeling all the way around. You know, now whether that transfers or not, you know, that remains to be seen. But, you know, I would definitely say we've ratcheted up the focus.
Steve, we appreciate the time. Best of luck against Alamosa today.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Steve Ryer, coach of the Delta Panthers.
Carrying the banner for the Western Slope.
That's right. Flying the flag. And like Steve mentioned, they played Alamosa before, so some experience there. And earlier in the season, facing the Mean Moose of Alamosa. But best of luck to the Delta Panthers today and their effort to try to win a 3A state title. All right, 7:54, Jim along with Cake and Buffalo Mark. Who are you rooting for at this year's Alpine Bank Junior College World Series? Have some other thoughts. Nikola Jokic, All-NBA first team, the first All-NBA first team selection for the Nuggets since David Thompson in 1977-78.
Still one of my favorite players of all time. I'd love me some Skywalker.
Oh, he was fantastic. He was absolutely fantastic. Let's see. Dylan has a question for you, Buffalo Mark. Should the Avs make an offer sheet to Braden Point this offseason?
Wow. That's going to cost 5 first-round draft picks.
So your answer would be no?
My answer would be no, but the Avs have got 2 picks in the first 14 this year. So, I mean, Braden Point is...
So there's 2 of 5.
Well, no, they wouldn't have to give those up. That Tampa roster is so stacked, so loaded with talent that Braden Point is often overlooked. This past season was kind of his coming out party, and it just happens to coincide with him becoming RFA. You'll remember that Joe Sakic almost signed with the Rangers, you know, the day when the Rangers extended him an offer sheet, and it would have cost the Rangers a ton. It's more expensive now. The Avs aren't close enough yet to winning the cup to make acquiring a player like Point, although he's brilliant and he would look great in burgundy and blue. They're not close enough yet to be able to pay that kind of steep price.
Right. So there's your answer, Dylan. No to Braden Point.
Right.
Let's see. From Josh, if you're going to disqualify Jokic for showing a lack of effort on the defensive end, then you've got to remove Harden, too. That guy plays zero defense. That's
what we're saying, though.
That defensive abilities do not... It's all about what you can do on the offensive end.
Right.
And I'd say that the Joker does more defensively than James Harden does.
Yeah, pretty much. Harden plays the Matador defense.
Yeah, that's pretty easy, I think, to say. Yeah, Joker puts a little more effort into.
I play as much defense as James Harden does.
Exactly. All right, so next hour, we'll talk with Anthony Gillich, the coach at Central Arizona. 8:20 for that interview. Still want more of your thoughts about who you're rooting for at the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team, Colorado Sports Leader, online at theteam1340.com. Commercial,
service.
Ready to turn your economy around? Start by saving on your trash service. DRS offers commercial and residential service and recycling with no contracts to sign. Those bright red dumpsters mean personal, customer-friendly service that fits your needs and your budget. DRS, serving Grand Junction, Delta, and Montrose. 243-8555.
Commercial refuse service. Trash disposal guaranteed.
It's Western Colorado's greatest baseball tradition, the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series in Grand Junction. Hi, this is Jim Davis, the Team Sports Network's official home of the JUCO World Series. Join Greg Wenzel, Rio Van Gilder, and myself, along with our team, for this year's World Series.
And that one is going to get way out of here over the mini monster in left.
Coverage starts at 8:20 in the morning on May 25th. Listen for your chance to win prizes from Qdoba and La Cabra Mexican Cantina. It's the Junior College Baseball World Series on the team and online at theteam1340.com.
So, you want an all-wheel drive sedan? Then you go to Honda, Toyota, Nissan. Red Rock Nissan has the all-new 2019 all-wheel drive Altima. Take that, Camry and Accord. The Altima costs thousands less than the two-wheel drive Camry or Accord. Plus, get a whopping 36 miles to the gallon. Move over, Camry and Accord. The all-wheel drive 2019 Altima is here. This month, get it for only $21,900. That's right, $21,900 at Red Rock Nissan on Highway 6 and 50. Think Nissan, think Red Rock Nissan.
Team weather.
Partly sunny in the Grand Valley and Delta today, high near 66, 63 in Montrose. Mostly clear, 44 tonight. Sunny tomorrow, high near 75. Sunday, sunny and 78. Monday, partly sunny and 66.
Junior College's best baseball teams come to GJ for the World Series on the team.
Get your team ready and come to Charlie Dwellington. It's time to plan ahead. The big kickoff event for the 8th Annual Community Hospital St. Baldrick's Head Shaving Event is Saturday. It all starts at 1 o'clock with drink and food specials. There'll be outstanding items in the silent auction and live music with the Landward Rogues and Union of None. You can register your team and get more information about this year's event. Join us at Charlie Dwellington's from 1 to 4 for the kickoff for this year's St. Baldrick's Head Shaving Event.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, fish that!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Covering the Western Slope, KTMM Grand Junction. Your NBC Sports Radio update starts now.
I'm John Stashower. Toronto Raptors, born in 1995. They are now in a place they've never been before. One win from the NBA Finals. Raptors playing Game 5 in Milwaukee. We're down 14 early, had an 18-2 run, then a 10-0 run in the fourth quarter. The Bucks got even from there, but a Fred VanVleet three-pointer put Toronto back ahead, and then the Raptors sealed the win.
Kawhi draws three defenders, gives up the pass to Kyle Lowry, who then finds Siakam wide open on the baseline, who dunks it down. The Raptors are 16 seconds away from taking Game 5 and a 3-2 series lead.
Raptors radio, they won 105-99. Kawhi Leonard, 35 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. Giannis Antetokounmpo led the Bucks with 24, but this series now 3-2 going to Toronto tomorrow. Minnesota Twins, best record in baseball. What a day for them yesterday in Anaheim.
Swinging a blast in the center field. That's it. Well, Goodwin going back. Goodwin racing at the wall. That is gone. And the Twins homer again. Eddie Rosario to the trees to the right of dead center field. 15-2. The eighth home run. The eighth home run the Twins have hit today.
Twins radio, they beat the Angels 16-7. They tie a club record set earlier this season with eight home runs. Two for Miguel Sanu, two for Jonathan Scope. C.J. Cron went 5-for-6. Martin Perez now 7-1. And the Twins are 33-16. Eight-game lead of the division. Again, they've got the best record in baseball, just ahead of the Yankees, who completed a four-game sweep, winning 6-5 in Baltimore. NBC Sports Radio brought to you by Wrangler Performance Series, collection of jeans and pants featuring a Comfort Flex waistband and denim. Flex is for comfort. Wrangler Performance Series, try on a pair today.
Baseball plays in the Grand Valley. 101 FM, 1340. The Team.
bunch of jokers and tokers who spend their lunch hacky-sacking the sound garden.
Ooh!
The team presents the Jim Davis Show. Call or text the team line at 970-242-1340. Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Eight oh three. Happy Friday. Jim Davis, along with Cake, Buffalo Mark, from the Bose Arth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Pray for all Friday. But we're asking you, well, a couple of things today. We didn't get to the quick question. I appreciated Kellen offering up one, but we had one already. I just didn't get around to it. But I do want people's thoughts on who you're rooting for at JUCO. Got a couple of texts. I believe Andrew has a text on who he's going to be rooting for at the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. Don't forget, tomorrow it all starts right here on the Team JUCO Radio Network, 8:20 tomorrow morning. JUCO Today with Rio Van Gilder. And then we'll have the first game, Walter State, Tennessee, Cowley College of Kansas, of our Kansas City, Kansas. They've won two. Walter State has a national championship as well. And looking forward to that game tomorrow to kick things off at the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. So your thoughts on that today. Just a reminder, by the way, Colorado Mesa Baseball, we have not forgotten the Mavericks. Nope. Nope, we have not forgotten Skip and the guys. Their quest to get to the D2 World Series. That game will be on 1100 KNZZ. The Mavericks at Angelo State, pregame at 5:45 tonight. And that is a best two out of three. So they'll play tonight. They'll play tomorrow at 2:30. That will also be on 1100 KNZZ. And then there's the if game, 6 o'clock on Saturday night, and that will also be on KNZZ because of the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. So I want people to think we've forgotten about our Mavericks. Congratulations to Anne-Marie Torres, by the way, and the softball team. I know it was a disappointing end of the season as far as the regional play goes, but Anne-Marie named to First Team All-America. So congratulations to Anne-Marie Torres. Honorable mention goes to Kayla Jacoby. So those Mavericks softball players honored with All-America honors. All right, start things out with a little NFL talk here in the 8 o'clock hour. Oh, by the way, I just got like a little snippet of the Aaron Rodgers thing before. Got to watch it in total here over the top of the hour break.
Yeah.
Come on, Aaron Rodgers, really? Come on. It's just a little cup of beer. It wasn't like it was a giant stein of beer.
And he didn't finish it.
And he did. He put the finger up like, excuse me. No, Aaron Rodgers. No.
Do you know who slammed his beer in its entirety? Christian Yelich, Mr. Tough Guy Aaron Rodgers, pro football player, shown up by a baseball player.
Not good, man. Not a good look, Aaron. Not a good look at all.
No, also, when we were watching that, you were telling me that we could travel back in time just a little bit about the late Merlin Olsen.
Yeah, I think we've told the story on the show before. Our buddy Chris Britt, that works over on Magic, he's friends with Bill Robinson that lives out in Palisade. And Bill used to do a lot of construction work out in Los Angeles, and he was out there, you know, in the 60s when the Rams had the fearsome foursome. And there on occasion, Merlin Olsen would come into this establishment. He would walk up to the bar and order a pitcher of beer, no glass. Merlin Olsen, Father Murphy, he was also on Little House on the Prairie.
Right.
He was the Ingalls neighbor.
And FTD spokesman, flower guy.
FTD spokesman, worked with Dick Enberg on all the AFC games on the NBC package back in the day, would take the pitcher of beer in his hand, his giant mammoth hand, and just slam it. And then he would get another pitcher. Don't need to waste a glass.
Right.
Don't need to dirty it.
Right.
Slam another pitcher.
Liked himself some brew.
The guy was just slamming pitchers of beer. And you wouldn't think, because he grew up in the Mormon faith, and you would not think that, you know, Merlin Olsen had this very squeaky, clean image. You know, not that drinking beer makes you know, an awful, horrible person, in my opinion.
No, but you don't associate Merlin Olsen.
But not Merlin Olsen, yeah. You don't, especially, you know, going and drinking three pitchers of beer. Just bloop, bloop. So, yeah, Aaron Rodgers has a long way to go to come over close to the fantastic beer-drinking legacy of one Merlin Olsen.
That's right.
Drink a lot of beer and stay out all night.
That astounds me, that story still, that he drank three pitchers of beer and just slammed them. Incredible. That was an amazing defensive front.
Oh, my gosh.
Deacon Jones and him, Lamar Lundy. Yeah, they were pretty impressive.
Yep.
Mark Gribble on the text line. Happy Friday. I think the Joker undoubtedly deserves first team. A lot of players would be carrying their hiney behind them if they played 45 minutes every game like he did in the playoffs. Yeah, let us not forget that 4 overtime game.
Yeah.
Portland, 65 minutes on the floor in that game. Rooting for New Mexico for JUCO since they are the closest team to Grand Junction. Yep, out of Hobbs, New Mexico. Let's see. We also have one from Rich. Rodgers misunderstood the scene. This is referring to Aaron Rodgers once again and Rodgers ripping on the end of Game of Thrones. The reason Rich is very much into Game of Thrones here, the reason Bran's story was the right choice is that he's the three-eyed raven. He knows all stories and past history for all. Rodgers should stick to getting his coach fired.
Touche.
I thought, Rich, I'm with you. I thought the way the series ended was fine. I didn't have a big problem with it. Andrew, good morning, Andrew. I've got to go for Walter State. Used to live in Johnson City, Tennessee, so it's always fun to go see a team from close to where we used to live. Very good. All right, some more of that. We're looking for that today. Who you're rooting for at JUCO. Text us, Bob Scott, RV Team Text Line, 970-242-1340, or call us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Broncos going through OTAs, and I can only glean really so much because there's no contact, don't put the pads on. But one of the things that the one player in particular is working on is being more productive in the red zone, and that is one Cortland Sutton, who remember the Broncos drafted him. He fell out of the first round. Denver got him in the second round.
Kind of really, a steal, really.
Really real steal for the Broncos. Got more and more playing time, and matter of fact, developed to the point where they felt like they could part company with Demaryius Thomas when they traded him to Houston. But Sutton last year certainly had moments where he played really well, but needs to be more productive when it comes to the red zone. You look at his numbers last year, 42 catches, 704 yards, with the majority of those coming at the catch point, where he receives the football, more about yards after the catch and things like that, 540 or 12.9 yards per catch. So when he caught the ball, he didn't do a lot with it afterward. And after the catch, he averages 3.9 yards per catch, which ranks 27th among receivers that played in all 16 games. So being a factor in the red zone, being able to be a home run hitter, a guy that can break a tackle and get yak after the catch, those are things that he's really tried to work on, his quickness and his strength to be even more effective at maybe breaking a tackle and being able to take a short catch and take it a long way. Another guy that is, from a receiving standpoint, that has been kind of a focus, and that's been Noah Fant, their first-round pick out of Iowa. That Fant has definitely been impressing people with his receiving abilities, but once again, we have to stress that this is all shorts and T-shirts and helmets and not much else, but we've talked about this before with Rich Gangarello, who was previously in San Francisco, who had George Kittle, another Iowa Hawkeye tight end. We saw what Kittle did to the Broncos last year, that the feeling is...
At least in the first half.
Yeah, at least
in
the first... Nothing in the second half, but it did plenty in the first half to be a gigantic pain on the Broncos' side. But Gangarello certainly is a guy that knows how to use a tight end, and what he did last year in working with Kyle Shanahan's offense. But the one thing that Fangio, and look, and I like what Vic Fangio says here, it's like, yeah, let's pump the brakes. It's OTAs, and how great Noah Fant can be. We still need him to continue to work on his blocking. That's still going to have to be, that's still kind of a work in progress, not exactly where Vic Fangio would like it to be. So kind of pump the brakes a little bit on expectations, but certainly Noah Fant has the ability to be a game changer for the Broncos.
Okay, first off, Coach Fangio, nobody's buying you really caring about Noah Fant's blocking. All right, he wasn't drafted to block.
No.
All right, so get over yourself. Secondly,
or does Fangio really feel like, because he's an old school guy, that I expect my tight end to get in there? And
hey, did anybody expect Kellen Winslow to block?
No.
Okay, so And secondly,
but he also didn't have Vic Fangio as a head coach.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, Don Coryell.
Exactly. He was going to throw it over the yard anyway.
I don't care. I don't care if you block a single guy. Just get open, Kelly.
You used to draw the plays up in the dirt in the huddle.
Exactly.
Right, Fouts, you drop back. Everybody get open. Yeah. That was the playbook.
That was pretty much it, yeah.
And it worked. But no, you're a lifelong Broncos fan. Can you remember as much hype surrounding an incoming tight end as surrounds Noah Fant right now?
I can't. I think there have been guys over the years, and you know, going all the way back to Riley Odom, who we talked about, you know, guy that probably should be in the Ring of Fame for the Broncos. Riley Odom's numbers are certainly as good as the Dave Casper, who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Well, Howard called in and said as much the other day.
Yeah, and I think he's right about that. Yeah. You know, I think that there was a feeling when they had Orson Mobley back in the 80s, big, tall, tight end, that he could be a difference maker in the receiving game, and had moments where, you know, because they had the combination of Clarence Kay, great blocker, hands of stone, Orson Mobley couldn't block anybody, was a decent receiving tight end. They had that kind of combination going. You know, there's a lot of expectations but not to the level of a Noah Fant, because they certainly did not take Julius Thomas. He was not a high round draft pick out of Portland State. He was a project because he'd been a basketball player. And it took a while because he had the Achilles injury early on in his time in Denver. Took him a while to develop. There was the feeling, though, that he could be something really special. And he was for a brief window of time in Denver. He was fantastic. But, yeah, I can't think of a guy since probably Riley Odom that they've taken in the first round that there's been this kind of a buzz about and expectation right out of the gate. And not even Jeff Heuermann was expected to be as impactful as Noah Fant is expected to be in 2019.
Jake Butt.
Yeah, Jake Butt. But I think that the problem with Jake Butt, though, there was expectations, and you're right. I'm glad you brought him up, Cake, because there was a feeling, boy, if he could do like he did at Michigan before he got hurt.
See, but that was the thing.
But that's the thing now. But he came in, though, kind of damaged goods, and you're like, we know we're going to have to wait a while to see what he can do. We didn't expect nothing right out of the gate. Because of the knee injury and recovering, and his first year was kind of like a redshirt year for him. I can't think of, except for maybe a Riley Odoms, that there was the expectation of first year for a tight end of him winning the starting job, being a big influence, being a big impact on the Broncos offense in his first year. But I think Jake Butt, that's worth bringing up. But also, people were kind of going, okay, we got to let him. Got the knee heel, and we'll see what happens after. Then this last year is supposed to be the year. We're going to see him really, you know, see what he could do.
Out of his shell.
And he got hurt again. So that's kind of where things are with Jake Butt. And we'll see if he ends up making the Broncos roster in 2019. So you also have the ongoing negotiation with Chris Harris Jr. They've... John Elway and the Broncos, they've made their offer. According to reports, Chris Harris Jr. and his people laughed at that offer, basically. They submitted a counterproposal. They're trying to work on something where Jr. would make more money this year than the $8.76 million he's going to get paid. And that might be something that makes him feel better than they can talk about a long-term deal down the road. But it doesn't look good. But Kisler wrote something in the Post today. That Chris Harris Jr. needs to realize this is not the no-fly zone anymore. And I think there's something to be said about that. He needs to come to the realization that he's on the wrong, like we talked about this before, wrong side of 30. Yes, he's still a really good cornerback. And it would be great if Denver could find a way to make this work out. But that he needs to realize that the times have changed in Denver. And the secondary doesn't have the clout that it once did, which means he doesn't have the clout that he once did. And that maybe he needs to be a little more realistic about what he's going to get paid going forward.
Excuse me.
And so now my thing is if they do this one-year deal with him where they pay him, say they give him $13 million for this 1 year. They decide to bump it up. They'll give him a raise with the expectation we can talk and maybe we can work something out here. Then I still think that he's going to be offended. He's still going to be unhappy because he's going to say, I still view myself as one of the best cornerbacks in the league. You guys need to show me how much you want me. giving me a raise is not enough. I need an extension. I want closer to the $15 million. This, I have a feeling it's not going to be enough to appease him by just giving him a one-year bump up to $13 million or whatever they would end up giving him.
Let me throw a hypothetical at you. What if the Broncos had anything approaching, even in the neighborhood, of a true shutdown corner on the other side? How would that affect Harrison and this? Would the Broncos be more willing, you know, to try to keep that sort of upper echelon secondary together?
Well, and I also think that they feel like they've got an ace in the hole, and that's Kareem Jackson.
Yeah.
They're just kind of going, hey, look, you know, Kareem Jackson's played corner. We'd rather have him play safety. We think Justin Simmons, by the way, and Adam Gotts is both in the final year of their deals, and so they've got some things to prove this year.
Well, Adam Gotts just fell off the planet last year.
Yeah, but the Broncos, I think Ed Donatell, Vic Fangio, they want it to be Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson at free safety and strong safety. But I think if Chris Harris makes this too problematic for them, they're willing to go, look, you know, we got Will Parks. We'll play Will Parks back there with Simmons. We'll move Kareem Jackson to corner.
What about Isaac Yiadom? He's the wild card in all of this.
And what if
he doesn't develop?
And that's because they moved Brendan Langley from corner to wide receiver now, which is okay because he wasn't a very good corner. We'll see. If he wasn't a very good corner, I'm not sure why they'll think he'll be a good enough wide receiver to make this roster. And I think that's a tough, tough task for him to make this team at that position. But
no,
I think
he's not going to make the team.
Yeah, I think they feel like they've got options, though, Mark. And I think that Kareem Jackson is the wild card here. That, look, if we'll just move him to corner. We'll just do that. And we'll play Parks at safety, and we'll go from there. You got Bryce McClanahan, excuse me. Of course, played for Vic Fangio at Donatell in Chicago.
Right.
You've got him already, so you got one really good corner. So you do kind of have that other corner already there. And Bryce Callahan.
Yeah. This would all be a lot easier to figure out if Sua Cravens actually panned out.
Yeah. And that is a guy that certainly, you know, we had the clip of him the other day talking about how ill-prepared the coaching staff was in the last few years with Vance Joseph being there.
That doesn't explain him being a healthy scratch last game of the year.
That's on him. But you know, with Bryce Callahan there, though, I think I called him McCallahan or something. Callahan, it's Juco. It's a week before Juco, folks. Things are all over the place in my brain. That they do have that guy kind of already there. And so, to go to what you're saying, they should be more motivated to keep Chris Harris Jr. there because they already have that other guy on the other side, and Bryce Callahan?
You can make an argument for either one.
But it doesn't seem that's the case. It's like, we know where you are in your career right now, Chris. We're only willing to go so far. And how's this going to work out if he doesn't get that?
You know what? Chris Harris needs to blame his agent and look in the mirror and blame that guy for the last contract negotiation.
That's what I said the other day.
That was ridiculous.
It would seem really good at the time.
For the
right?
Broncos.
Yeah. And it seemed like it wasn't bad for Chris. It wasn't like the worst deal ever. But certainly considering he was one of the top three cornerbacks in the league.
He played himself out of that contract in one season.
Pretty much.
Yep.
And then there's another name floating around out there, Gerald McCoy, former Buck defensive tackle. The Buccaneers have already addressed the Gerald McCoy spot with Ndamukong Suh now. But supposedly 10 teams are interested in Gerald McCoy. Are the Broncos one of those teams?
I guess they are.
Possibly, but he wants $11 million a season. That might be too rich for the Duke of Denver's blood.
You know, Ndamukong Suh's certainly piling up the stickers on the suitcase, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Detroit and the Rams. And
Miami
for a stretch before the Rams and now the Bucks. Getting some frequent flyer miles.
Okay, you know what? There's no way that Gerald McCoy is still worth $11 million.
No, he's not.
This is his agent trying to manipulate and inflate the market for his client. And I don't blame him for doing so. But don't float $11 million.
Yeah, and the Broncos are not, they're not going to jump a Gerald McCoy for $11 million.
Now, I'm not exactly sure why the Bucs didn't try to move him and get something for him, even a sixth rounder. You know, it was apparent early on that they were moving on from Gerald McCoy. So their lack of willingness to even test the market for him, there's no way he's worth $11 million. But he will be employed soon.
Somebody will get him.
Yeah,
I just don't know if it'll be for $11 million, like he and his agent think that, that he's worth.
There's never been an issue with Gerald McCoy off the field. Apparently, he's great in the locker room, and certainly he gives 100% on the field, but he's not worth $11 million.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Anthony Gilich, coach of Central Arizona, joins us next on the Jim Davis Show.
The Jim Davis Show.
I've practically been training my whole life to have people who are loud and wrong yell at me.
I've never been so upset in my life.
On in Delta 102.1 and Montrose 100.1, the Team Sports Network.
Bailey's Moving and Storage does what it takes to be the best. Bailey's is your one-stop moving source for Colorado, Utah, and beyond. They specialize in customized household, commercial, and corporate relocation, including packing, disassembly, and reinstallation to meet your ever-changing needs. Bailey's is an accredited Allied Van Lines agent. From local to international, they offer competitive pricing and a commitment to your satisfaction. Bailey's Moving and Storage, providing quality moves since 1952. Call 241-3636.
The Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team is into the NCAA Division II Super Regional. And catch all the action of Maverick baseball on 1100 KNZZ 92.7 FM. Friday night, the Mavericks score off against Angelo State. Pregame starts at 5:45. The second game of that series is Saturday with pregame at 2:15. With the third and possible championship game, pregame starts at 5:45 on Saturday night. All your Maverick baseball on 1100 KNZZ 92.7 FM.
With Holiday Cleaner self-service laundromat, you'll always have something nice to wear. They have lots of large-capacity washers and dryers in a clean, friendly environment, and they're open every day from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. for your convenience. Holiday Cleaners on 3rd Street, just north of North Avenue.
Team Weather.
Partly sunny in the Grand Valley and Delta today, high near 66, 63 in Montrose. Mostly clear, 44 tonight. Sunny tomorrow, high near 75. Sunday, sunny and 78. Monday, partly sunny and 66.
I am Staff Sergeant Mark Anthony Madrid.
Staff Sergeant Samantha Cowell.
I'm Staff Sergeant Alex.
I'm Staff Sergeant William Lewis, and I am proud to defend my family and our nation.
The Air Force Reserve is part of the story of this great nation.
I'm grateful that I have a chance to wear the uniform of the heroes that went before me.
I am proud to be part of a team that helps make a difference in the world.
Every day, men and women from communities across this nation serve as reserve citizen airmen. Even as technology evolves and changes, our commitment to defend and protect this nation remains steadfast. We celebrate those who have served and those who are proudly serving. We celebrate our proud history and look towards an exciting and uniting future. Our mission is to fly, fight, and win in air, space, and cyberspace.
And I am proud to be a member.
And I'm proud to serve in the United States.
And I am proud to protect our country.
Proud to serve in the U.S. Air Force Reserve.
AFReserve.com.
Welcome, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey on his birthday. Because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Just look at the news. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless. And I'm not just talking about obvious things like campfires or letting your totally sweet nephew, Francis, play with matches. I'm talking about dumping your used barbecue coals willy-nilly or parking your car on tall, dry grass. That can lead to... poof! Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. But listen, being a South Carolinian, I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous, deciduous, or new car scented. So if you love the outdoors like me, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention, because fire safety is always in season. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I was sensitive to lights and sounds, so I built secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. Sometimes, I do the same things over and over, until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Colorado Rockies baseball plays on the team. 101-1340, the team.
Jim Davis Show on in Delta 102.1 and Montrose 100.1.
Thanks.
The Team Sports Network.
Welcome back, 827. Jim along with Cake, Buffalo Mark. Happy Friday. Memorial Day weekend, Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. Nothing like it, man. Nothing like it. Weekend of baseball. 8 days of great action over at Sam Saplesio Field. So have time, plenty of time to get your tickets. You can go online, make it easy on yourself. JucoGJ.org, MonumentalEvents.com, any Alpine Bank location. There's an Alpine Bank wherever you are on the Western Slope listening to us. You can get your tickets there. And it all starts tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. Walter State takes on Cali College. Looking forward to a great first day of baseball. Looks like the weather is going to get better, but then I hear a temperature of 66 on Memorial Day.
Ooh.
And I'm going, man, you got to be kidding me. When we had the chairman of the Alpine Bank Chico World Series, Jamie Hamilton, with us yesterday, he said that yesterday, a year ago, our temperature yesterday was 48 degrees when he got here. It was 101 in Junction on the same day a year ago, yesterday.
Yikes.
And we're expecting maybe a high of 66 on Monday for Memorial Day. Just crazy. But hopefully the weather will be good for the majority of the weekend. The weather did cooperate last night for the kids' clinic and the Challenger games and the picnic they also had with Strive. But we're trying to track down Anthony Gilich. Anthony is an elusive man. Busy guy, the Caros coach. Talked to me yesterday for a few minutes. And hopefully we will be joined by him coming up sometime between now and the end of the program. We'll see. We'll see. Hopefully he'll be with us. All right, let's get back to the text line. We're asking who you're rooting for at JUCO. It's finally here. Hour and a half into the show. The quick question, too, which I keep forgetting to get to. Because we have so many other things to talk about.
Busy day.
Hamburger or hot dog?
What, Memorial Day coming up?
Yeah. I always got to go with the burger first. Burger first, then the dog. But always a hamburger.
Nope, dog first.
Really?
Dog first.
Okay. Then won't take your man card away. Not like you're Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly.
I'm
not Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I can't chug a beer. Like a little cup of beer, not like a big stein, a little cup of beer. Let's see. From Kellen on the Bob Scott RV team text line, 970-242-1340. Good morning, gents. It always seems like the Rockies underwhelm for a portion of the season and then go on a long streak where they do very well to make things interesting. I'm a total homer with the Joker. I'm glad he's on the first team. I don't think most NBA stars play a lot of defense. Yeah, if that's going to be the... I agree with you on that, Kellen. If that is going to be the determining factor, then... You just with Joker, there are times, not just necessarily defensively, there have been times during the stretch in his career where he has not been a factor in the fourth quarter. I don't think that's as big... That was as big a problem this year as it's been in past years. I don't have a huge problem with him being on the first team. I think he's more of a second team guy at this point in his career.
Right.
But look, he had a tremendous season. There's little doubt about that. And big reason why they were the second seed in the West and why they got to the semifinals.
Let me throw this out there because it's kind of the gorilla in the room when we talk about the Joker. The perception is that, I mean, obviously he doesn't work on the defensive end as he probably should, but also is it the eye test with the Joker and that he looks like a giant piece of dough out there?
He's not a chiseled specimen. No,
he's not.
He is not. He's not he's not ripped. He's not cut. He is a bit on the doughy side. And yeah, I just think the way he gets everybody involved, the way he passes the basketball, I think it's amazing for a guy that's a post player, his height, 7 foot, that can, in that range, that can find the open man, can hit threes, can obviously go inside and do damage in the paint. He's developed into, I think, a more consistent player than the first couple of years in the league. From Paul, our old colleague in Montrose, listening to 100.1 FM. Brush up on your new Rochelle trivia, Monroe, all the way. Look forward to hearing you guys. Well, thanks, Paul. Hope things are going well for you and the family. Roy mentioned that we talked about Merlin Olsen, great unknown beer drinker.
But did he do the Miller Lite beer ads? Was he involved with those?
I don't remember exactly. He might have been, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
But Roy mentions that Merlin was originally drafted by the Broncos
yes.
back in 1962, but ended up going to the Rams. Let's see. Andrew, can you imagine Aaron Rodgers walking into a Milwaukee bar ordering a pitcher with no glass? He'd be there for days. It's true. He'd probably miss training camp. He'd probably miss the preseason, Andrew. He might make it for week two of the season.
Maybe.
Might. Might make it then. Paxton, good morning, guys. So with me ongoing, the ongoing trade talks between the Broncos and Chris Harris, if he can't lower his price tag to about $11.5 million, is it worth the trouble to even try to re-sign him? Because next year there are three members of your defensive line that are up for new deals, and from reports it seems like the Broncos only have the cap space for one of those three.
It doesn't matter what they do with Chris Harris this year. He's going to have no impact on the roster next year. I don't care what he does this year. He will not be a Bronco next season. Next season.
Yeah, I really feel that will be the case. Because I don't think John Elway's going to budge. They're not going to give him a 3 or 4 year deal. He's going to want a 4 year deal. He's going to want to finish his career in Denver. And he wants the length of contract, certain amount of guaranteed money. And I don't think John's going to do that.
You know, also lurking on the horizon are going to be huge raises for, and they're still a couple years away, but Bradley Chubb and Cortland Sutton's going to get a raise. Eventually, you're just going to have to cut ties. I mean, even at 11.5, that's a significant chunk when you're looking. Philip Lindsay's contract is going to, Philip Lindsay is making nothing.
Yeah, rookie deals will expire,
yeah.
And then you have to start addressing that, And look, he's on the wrong side of 30.
Right.
He's still one of the best corners in the league. But he's also coming off an injury. Yes, he did play in the Pro Bowl. But, you know, come on. How healthy did Chris have to really be to play in that game? The glorified two-hand touch that was the Pro Bowl this past year. Or this past season. I don't see him being with this team after this year. And there's part of me right now that thinks he may not be with this team this year.
Right. Now, I will say this. I think there's a market for him.
Oh, yes.
I think somebody would deal for him.
But along the lines of Aqib Talib, you're not going to get a first, second, third round pick or anything like that for him. That's not going to happen.
Nope.
No.
If the Cardinals couldn't get a first rounder for Josh Rosen, the Broncos ain't getting a first rounder for Chris Harris.
No, not going to happen. Not going to happen. Another one from Andrew on our hot dog versus hamburger debate. Hot dog first, you can crush a dog in a few seconds, followed immediately by a burger.
Yeah, unless you're Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but see, and I look at you're right, Andrew. You can eat a dog way quicker, but I love the delicious beefy goodness of a hamburger first, and then the backup meat is going to be the hot dog. It has a role coming off the bench. It's a solid sixth man kind of food. You know, you got to work in your beans, your potato salad. You had the question, potato or macaroni salad?
My answer is yes, but they have to be homemade. I cannot stand store-bought macaroni salad.
I'm okay with macaroni salad. There's a point where I didn't like it. I'll eat it. I'm a potato salad guy, though,
yeah.
Through and through. My son, Nick, hates potato salad. Though.
Really?
Will not eat it. Uh-uh.
With or without mustard?
Just won't eat it, period.
Oh.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He will not eat it. It's not going to happen. The dude has a problem with potato salad. Never been able to get him to eat it. I think it was like the only food left on the planet Earth he probably would choose to starve to death.
That's hatred.
He hates it that much. And his mother makes a lovely potato salad. Kenneth's potato salad is fantastic. Well, no, my boy Nick will not eat that stuff. He will not touch it. All right, 836. We've tried to get a hold of Anthony Gilich, the coach at Central Arizona. I have a feeling Anthony probably forgot.
Either maybe. He forgot or his phone has been blaring and it's somewhere underneath the couch cushions and he's trying so hard to where is it?
Where's my phone? Well, that's where you got to find somebody that has your phone.
The Find My
number.
Phone app, yeah.
Or you have your phone app on something else. Or somebody else, hey, call my phone. How many times we've done that, right? Hey, call my phone so I can find it. And it's right there in the other room. I feel like such a moron.
I've had plenty of those moments.
All right, 8:37. Who are you rooting for at JUCO? Like to hear your thoughts today from Guru Gary. Took my grandson Liam to the JUCO clinic. He had so much fun, got four stations in before the rain. He bonded really good with the New Mexico coach and players from Hobbs and the Reavers players. So we're going to root for either of them to win. So Guru Gary and Liam, his grandson, going to be rooting for Iowa Western and New Mexico out at the ballpark. Very good. Well, more of those texts. We like those today. 970-242-1340, Jim along with Cake and Buffalo Mark from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Let's go ahead and get into...
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right, Chris Long is retired from the NFL. Howie's boy. Championships with the Eagles and the Patriots during his time in the league. And Chris Long acknowledging that during the course of his NFL career, playing on the defensive line, there were many occasions where he imbibed and used marijuana to deal with his pain. He thinks that the NFL's marijuana rules are absolutely silly. Is he right? We will start with you, Kate.
Yes, he is absolutely right. And, you know, look, yes, it's still illegal at the federal level, but the idea of legal marijuana is a growing popular opinion.
How are you going to growing?
Oh,
yeah.
That was not intentional. But, you know, people are starting to be... I think the country's starting to get a little more lax on it, so I think the NFL should be a little more lax on it, too, especially if you're talking about dealing with pain.
Mark?
This is a no-brainer. Of course he's right. It's not 1950. This NFL, wake up.
Yeah. Look, there are people who feel like it helps them manage their pain. Guys like former Bronco Nate Jackson write a lot of pieces about this. There are a lot of guys that have come out and said, it helped me deal with it. It's for them better than taking... a lot of the prescription drugs that some of the team doctors use to help them deal with their pain. Yeah, I think there comes a point at the NFL they need. Look, I'm not behind. You know, look, if it's a law in the state, people can use it. I have no problem with that. I just think that in the NFL, being addicted to prescription painkillers, opioids. Let's go back to the Brett Favre experience. I had to go to rehab to get off of that.
Right.
There are worse things that players can ingest that supposedly are medically will help them or beneficial to them. Marijuana is a far better thing than getting addicted to a prescription painkiller.
Right.
If you're looking for something to deal with your pain. I agree with them. It's silly. All right, second down, Mark.
Okay, very quietly, ESPN and the NCAA announced the schedule for the CFP, the college football playoff, coming up. The title game in 2020 is going to be played 16 days.
That's stupid.
After the two semifinals, and will be played at 8 o'clock Eastern time on a Friday night. Mistake?
Absolutely. What's wrong with a Saturday night?
Yeah, or a Monday night.
Monday night. I think if you're East Coast, though, Monday night, that's rough because that's an 8 o'clock start time.
Yeah, but you know what? You're going to lose the casual fan. It's a Friday night. Casual fans are not going to stay home to watch a college football game.
Yeah.
Guys like you and I will.
Yeah, I just think the 16 days between games
is
ridiculous. All right, third down.
Minnesota Twins, best record in Major League Baseball. That seems to have come out of nowhere. Are they a dark horse for the World Series?
Guru Gary could probably answer this one.
Yeah, I think it's still too early to tell.
They hit 8 home runs yesterday.
Yeah.
In one game. And they weren't playing the Rockies.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's a soft division that they're in.
It is.
Outside of Cleveland, I mean, it's always been a sort of soft division. I mean, Kansas City had their day in the sun.
Their one year.
Yeah. I think it's too early to keep an eye on them. Yeah, I'm not going to put him a dark horse just yet. But team that made the playoffs, what, year before last, I believe?
Yeah.
As a wild card? Yeah, I'm not going to jump on the dark horse bandwagon yet, but definitely keep an eye on him. All right, last Denver Post, their omelet section. They were talking about Champ Bailey going to the Ring of Fame, and some point Demaryius Thomas probably will be up for consideration for the Ring of Fame. But if Demaryius Thomas goes, then what's the play that he's known the best for?
the 80-yard wild card touchdown against the Pittsburgh Steelers, thrown by
one. The blank, as some people called it, because it happened in a blink of an eye, ran the shallow cross.
Yep.
Well, he got blown up in the Super Bowl, too.
Yeah.
On the crossing route.
On the crossing route. But different years, but yeah. But that's kind of the play that he's best known for. And the feeling is that, well, if that's the best play he's known for, should the guy who threw the pass to him maybe be a Ring of Fame candidate as well?
You're talking one Timothy Tebow?
One Timothy Richard Tebow.
No. Not a Ring of Famer.
No. No.
The very notion of this is exactly why people point to marijuana use as bad. All right?
Because there are people that come up with stuff like this.
Yeah.
But Tim Tebow should be in the Ring of Fame. Or at least be in the running
consideration.
For consideration. No. No. I wish Tim nothing but the best, but no, he is not a Ring of Famer. You don't have Steve Foley, all-time interception leader in Broncos history, not in the Ring of Fame, then Tim Tebow certainly should not be in the Ring of Fame.
Maybe he'll make it for the Mets. Who knows?
Maybe. Maybe.
There you go.
All right. That's four down territory. Anthony Gillich, correct?
Yes.
All right, he found his phone. Very good. We'll talk to the Central Arizona coach next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Here's the latest from the Team Sports Desk.
Good morning, I'm Jim Davis. The Colorado Rockies couldn't nab the sweep in Pittsburgh Thursday afternoon. In fact, they got pounded by the Pirates in Game 3. They lost 14-6 at PNC Park as the Rocks fall to 22-26 on the year. Antonio Cincitello takes the loss, going just over three innings and giving up eight runs. Colorado will dust it off to start up a 10-game homestand tonight. First three games against Baltimore. For Game 1, it's righty Jeff Hoffman on the bump for the Rocks against Sean Means for Baltimore. And here tonight starting at 6 on the Team Sports Network. After loss yesterday, the Rockies have some potentially bad news. Denver Post reporting Charlie Blackmon injured his right calf in yesterday's game. Blackmon says it's too early to tell if he'll miss any games because of it. Team trainers are monitoring it closely. Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic is considered one of the rising stars in the NBA, and his selection to the All-NBA team adds to the growing resume. Joker was named to the All-NBA first team and is the first Denver Nugget player to make the All-NBA first team since David Thompson in 1977-78. He's the seventh Nugget to be named to the All-NBA team. Colorado Mesa sprinter Brooklyn York is into the finals of the 100-meter dash at the P2 Track and Field Championships in Kingsville, Texas. York ran the fastest time in program history yesterday with a time of 51. The finals are tomorrow. Mavs pole vaulter Nolan Ellis failed to make it to the finals. He finishes his CMU career as the school's most decorated track and field athlete. Ellis is a five-time All-American and a former indoor national champion. I'm Jim Davis, Colorado sports leader, the team.
Hey friends, Walt Frew here, manager of the Cameo Shooting and Education Complex. Well, we're into that outdoor time of year again, and we'll be changing to our summer hours soon. We'll be open 7 days a week. Right now, we're open Wednesday through Sunday from 10 to 6, and we've expanded our action shooting sports to include IDPA, USPSA, Steel Challenge, and 3-Gun. And be sure to ask about our beginning archery classes for all ages. We're easy to find off of I-70, exit 45, just east of Palisade. You can call us at 464-1339 or look for Cameo Shooting and Education Complex on Facebook.
I'm Libby Pelletier in the KNDZ News Center. Colorado's not completely drought-free, but it's as close as you can get. Despite some reservoir levels still below normal for the first time in nearly 20 years of monitoring, the U.S. Drought Monitor Colorado is reporting 99.9% of the state is drought-free. The Colorado Bureau of Investigation and Montrose County Sheriff's Office are looking for clues in a 1999 cold case. Dale Williams, the owner of a body shop in Nuclear, received a call from a distressed motorist in May of that year. He stopped at a local business on his way to help and hasn't been seen since. His truck was found in a river 2 months later. Investigators are looking for information about the motorist who called. Tips are being taken through the CBI Grand Junction Regional Office. There's an outbreak of mumps cases in Summit County, specifically impacting Arapaho Basin employees. Health officials confirming 12 positive mumps cases and widening their surveillance area. I'm Libby Pelletier in the KNZZ News Center.
Good morning.
The Jim Davis Show is worldwide at theteam1340.com and on iTunes, The Team.
.846, Jim along with Cake, Buffalo Mark from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. The Alpine Bank Junior College World Series gets underway tomorrow, and then tomorrow night, 7:30 game, Monroe, New York takes on Central Arizona. And with us right now, the champions of the Western District, coach of the Vaqueros, Central Arizona coach Anthony Gillich. Anthony, we appreciate the time. How are you?
Jim, how are you? I appreciate you having me on.
Doing fine. We're trying to track you down. You probably got 8 million voicemails on your phone. Did you lose your phone like I normally do, Anthony?
No, they have quite a few things planned for us, and to be honest, I thought I was supposed to be on at 8:40, so I apologize for that.
Oh, that's okay. We got you on now, and that's the only thing that matters, Anthony. You guys have a lot on your plate, and congratulations on getting back to Grand Junction for the Junior College World Series. An impressive victory in the championship game in the Western District against Southern Nevada. Really good ball club. You beat them 16-7. You guys hit 5 home runs in that game. And from an offensive standpoint, boy, you guys were really clicking in that Western District tournament.
Yeah, it's you know, the offense is starting to go a little bit. We've had pretty good pitching all year. The offense has kind of been up and down a little bit. But the last, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks or so, the offense has really started to go. And last week, we swing wood bat all year long. We're a wood bat conference. Last week was the first time that first 3 games that we swung a metal bat all year. And so, you know, I don't know if that had something to do with it or we just got hot at the right time.
You mentioned, you're right, in the Arizona Community College League that you guys use wood bats. I guess the pros and cons on making that adjustment. I mean, what do you, is there a way you try to approach it with your guys in terms of their approach at the plate when you go from the wood to the metal?
Yeah, it's a little bit tricky just because, you know, all through the fall, all through the spring, all our games, I mean, we don't take any reps with a metal bat. And so usually the first game or two is a little tricky because the hitters think, you know, they're going to be able to hit everything because they have a metal bat in their hand. The tricky part that kind of goes under the radar a little bit is the defense. The ground balls are a hair different. The balls off the bat in the outfield are a little bit different. So the bunting is a little bit different. So, you know, all those things. I think we've shaken off all that now and kind of got through those games and that transition period. But usually those first couple games, you know, it just plays a hair different, you know. And so, you know, we try to get as many reps and as many ground balls and, you know, as many fly balls and all those things as possible just to kind of be prepped for it.
Anthony Gilich, coach of Central Arizona, joining us today on the program on the team. You mentioned your pitching really is your strong suit. Staff ERA of 3.16. Avery Jones has been the guy that's really led the way in terms of innings pitched this year, 77 2/3, 8-4 record, 63 strikeouts, 20 walks. Lucas Knowles has had a really good year for you as well, 8-2 on the season with an ERA of 1.23. Talk about Knowles and Jones a little bit, because that ERA for Lucas Knowles, that's eye-popping at 1.23.
Yeah, I think Lucas, unless something's changed over the last week, I think he ended up leading the country in ERA. He's a great kid. He's a special player, and he's pitched in some big games. He's a transfer from the University of Washington. So last year he had the opportunity to pitch in Omaha. So he's in the College World Series and pitched in Omaha. And so, he's got a lot of experience, kind of pitched on these big stages before, and we're lucky to have him. And he's a special kid as far as competitiveness goes, work ethic, just having a feel for pitching. You know, I mean, he's pretty good. And so, you know, he's been outstanding for us. Avery's just been kind of steady Eddie for us. He's eating up innings and you know, getting some wins along the way. Big tall kid and works hard, keeps his body in good shape. And I think that's, you know, I know you said you know, he has the most innings, and it's a testament to his work ethic, and he's keeping his body and his arm in shape, and so he's allowed to, you know, keep going some more innings.
The Caras coach, Anthony Gilich, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the team. Another guy that's got a very impressive ERA, Jason Nelson, 9-5 this season, has thrown a couple of complete games, tied with Lucas Knowles for the lead in complete games on your staff. He has a 1.40 ERA. So another guy that has gone out and been great at shutting down opposing bats.
Yeah. He's a sophomore on our team along with Avery. Knowles, this is his first year, but Nelson was on our team last year, so was Avery. You know, and Nelson's a great kid, too. You know, unfortunately, he's a little bit banged up right now, so he won't be pitching in this tournament. He's a little bit banged up, and we're giving him some rest. And it's just unfortunate for him. It's bad timing. Nothing serious or anything like that, but he needs a little bit of time off. And so, you know, we're going to give it to him. He's got a bright future as long as you know, along with a lot of these guys, are moving on to Division I schools, and hopefully in a week or two have the opportunity to get drafted. And so we're not going to push him. Like I said, he's not quite ready to go yet, which is unfortunate for him. I mean, this would be an unbelievable experience for him, but he won't pitch this weekend, but he's had an outstanding year. Yeah, he threw a no-hitter earlier in the year as well. So he had 17 strikeouts, no-hitter, pretty impressive.
Anthony Gilich of Central Arizona with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the team. We talked about your pitching on the offensive side. You said a bit of a slow start, but boy, that district tournament, the bats really came alive when you made the jump from the wood to the metal. And Zach Hogason, is that how you pronounce his name?
Yes, it is.
Oh, yes, Hogason. Okay. I got it right. What do you know? It's a miracle. I actually got a pronunciation right because it's a little bit different than the normal way you spell Hogason. He's had a really good year for you, 63 RBIs. He leads your team in that category, Anthony. He's also hit 12 home runs. He's been really the big power bat throughout the season for your ball club.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a great kid. He's been sitting in the middle of our order all year. He's hit right in 3, 4, 5, you know, all year long. And he's a big kid, just a big boy. So he gives a little bit of presence in the box and left-handed hitter. And he's a big kid. And like I said, the offensive numbers, usually when we get here, are always a touch less than everyone else's just because of the metal and the wood. And so to have 12 home runs with the wood bat is pretty good. And so and in our field in Arizona, it's a big yard. 340 down the lines and 412 to center, wood bat, you know, so if you get one, you earned it for sure. And so, you know, he's a good kid, and him and Ernie Ordonez have kind of led the way for our offense. So those two guys are kind of make us go.
So you take on the Eastern District champion, Monroe, New York. They were here last year at the Junior College World Series, and a team kind of like your team, Anthony, with, of course, with you making, you using the wood bat during your regular season. You know, the offensive numbers, like you said, are down just a touch compared to everybody else. And certainly for Monroe, their offensive numbers aren't exactly eye-popping. They're hitting .256 as a team, but the team's got some pretty good speed. They've stolen over 50 bases this year. I know with Lou's team, that always a pretty good defensive baseball team as well, and that'll be your first test come Saturday night at JUCO.
Yeah, I mean, we know how good they are. They were here last year, too, and you don't make it 2 years in a row if you can't play. So they got a couple good arms. They have some good bats that we're aware of as well. So, like I said, we'll obviously respect those guys. I mean, they do what a lot of teams want to do, and that's go back-to-back to JUCO, and they're here. And so, and they're going to have a little bit of experience, too, which I think is going to go a long way. They've been through just all the amount of fans we're about to play in front of, all the banquets, the camps, all those things that go along with JUCO, which are unbelievable. They've been through it before, and we haven't. And so, you know, I think that's going to help them a little bit. And so we're going to have to be on our game, and we're going to have to be prepared and get a run at them.
Anthony, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much. I know you got a busy schedule, all the coaches and all the teams do, but we appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Yep, thank you, Jim.
Thank you. We'll see you at the ballpark.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Central Arizona coach Anthony Gilich joining us on the program today. So we'll have Monroe, New York, 7:30 game tomorrow night over at Sam Saplesio Field in the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series. So there we go. We got every single coach in this year's tournament. Sometimes it takes till Friday for it to happen, but we usually find a way to make it work out. Appreciate Anthony working us in today. All right, 8:55, Jim along with Cake and Buffalo Mark. If you're going to win Fat Tire Qdoba today, you've got to give us some thoughts on the team line. Which team are you going to be rooting for? JUCO? Will it be Central Arizona? A lot of people love the Arizona ball clubs when they come to town, out of the Western District. So are you going to be rooting for them? Who will you be rooting for? JUCO? Text us or call us. 970-242-1340, Hour 3 coming up on the Jim Davis Show.
Now's the time to get a hot deal on a new Silverado at Ed Bozar Chevrolet. Get more out of your summer and pay less. Right now, save up to $12,000 off MSRP on the all-new 2019 Chevy Silverado. MSRP $46,895, sale price just $34,498. Experience the rugged reliability and proven performance of Silverado and save with the season's deepest discount. Find new roads at the number one selling Chevy dealer in Colorado, Ed Bozar's Mark Miller Chevrolet Buick 25. 95 Highway 6 and 50, Silverado Stock Number 12395. See dealer for details.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Colorado Army National Guard. Aired by the Colorado Broadcasters Association at this station.
You love your new home, but if you want to keep enjoying it, you've got to make the payments. It's the same with Strive. Hi, this is Doug Sorter, Vice President of Strive. Thanks to your generous donations, we've moved into a beautiful new facility that lets us better meet the needs of some very special folks on the Western Slope. But to keep providing the care and services we offer, we're depending on your continued support. If you'd like to donate or just find out more about Strive, visit our website at strivecolorado.org. Thank you for helping us frame the future.
Spend all day doing laundry. Bring it to Holiday Cleaners. Get it done in an hour and a half and get on with your life. It's fully attended and secure. And you can even get a free dryer start with every front load wash. Holiday Cleaners on North 3rd behind the Salvation Army. Open 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily.
Team weather.
Partly sunny in the Grand Valley and Delta today. High near 66, 63 in Montrose. Mostly clear 44 tonight. Sunny tomorrow, high near 75. Sunday, sunny and 78. Monday, partly sunny and 66.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are a few of the things many of us take for granted. Yet for many United States military veterans, finding and affording oral health care is a challenge. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. Will you volunteer to help people like Richard, a U.S. Naval veteran who suffered severe PTSD after his service? He was left homeless for a period of time, and his oral and overall health are suffering. Because of congressional limitations, the VA can't provide the dental help he needs. Through our Will You See One Vet program, we focus on helping U.S. military.
What does the sound of a school bell bring to mind? Homeroom? Lunchtime? The day's end? Or the end of school entirely, as in kids dropping out. At Communities in Schools, we work directly inside schools to help those students whose ability to come to school is often jeopardized by hardships, the loss of a loved one, poverty, lack of housing, or bullying. Hear from a few students whose lives we have touched.
They've always had my back. They've always done anything to help me.
At Communities in Schools, we empower students to succeed in and out of the classroom.
They've been there for when I've had any questions, any problems personally. Anytime I needed support, they were there.
Our mission is to ensure that at-risk kids have someone by their side.
It means a lot to me to graduate. It's just a big accomplishment.
Communities in Schools never gave up on me. They told me I can do it, and I did it.
Communities in Schools. We're in schools to help kids stay in school. See how we help all students succeed at communitiesinschools.org.
Covering the Western Slope, KTMM Grand Junction, K266 CE Grand Junction, KNAM Silk Rifle, K254. Your NBC Sports Radio update starts now.
They say a series doesn't really begin until a team loses a home game. Well, the Eastern Conference Finals began last night. The Toronto Raptors are one win away from their first trip to the NBA Finals in franchise history after stealing Game 5 in Milwaukee 105-99 last night. They take a 3-2 lead with Game 6 coming tomorrow night in Toronto. Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer after the loss.
You know, a little bit of a strange box score, obviously. Van Fleet from the three-point line and them in general from the three-point line was a huge impact on the game. And I think when we look at the film, we'll feel like if we could have, you know, gotten a few more defensive rebounds from, you know, the 5-4, 3-minute mark on, you know, maybe the end result would have been different. But we'll get ready. We'll get prepared. Go to Toronto.
Meanwhile, as the Warriors await to see who their opponent will be in the NBA Finals, the team announcing yesterday that Kevin Durant likely will not be available for Game 1. In fact, it's still up in the air as to when Durant will be able to return from his calf injury. Major League Baseball, the Twins continue to crush the ball. A franchise record 8 homers yesterday, giving them a Major League best 98 long balls through their first 49 games. That puts them on pace to shatter the Yankees' record of 267 homers set just last year. The 98 is also the second most through a team's first 50 games in MLB history. The Twins begin a set with the White Sox tonight in Minnesota. Afternoon baseball at Wrigley today. The Cubs host the Reds. First pitch 2:20 Eastern. This update is brought to you by Wrangler Outdoor. Pants and shirts made with durable fabrics, moisture management, and UPF 30 protection. Wrangler Outdoor, clothing with outdoor credibility and everyday versatility. Try them on today. Get all of your scores on the NBC Sports Scores app. I'm Scott Seidenberg, NBC Sports Radio.
Your home of Rockies baseball, Colorado's sports leader, the team. Presents the Jim Davis Show. Call or text the team line at 970-242-1340 on Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Oh yeah. Good morning, it's all right. 903. Jim Davis alone, Cake Buffalo Mark from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Oh yeah. The Alpine Bank Junior College World Series gets underway tomorrow over at Sam's Blasio Field. Who will you be rooting for? What are your thoughts on that? Rockies get 2 out of 3 at Pittsburgh, but, man, that's yesterday. They get within 2. They're down 8-6, and they end up losing 14-6. And the Pirates are not the dregs of the National League. They're not the worst team by any stretch of the imagination. They actually came in playing some pretty good baseball. And but the thing is that that's a series. If you're the Rockies, you need to sweep that. You have big offensive explosions the first two games of the series. Pitched it pretty well. Antonio Sensatella was terrible yesterday. Man, you get it down. You're down 8-6. Dig yourself a big hole. I'd like to see him come back and win that thing yesterday. And then now you got the concern about Charlie Blackman's calf. Is that going to be a problem going forward for the Rockies? Your thoughts on the Rockies? They take on Baltimore tonight. This is a three-game series the Rockies should sweep.
It's at home. It's against the worst team in baseball. You would hope.
You would think, right? You would think.
These are the Colorado Rockies. We're talking about a team that shatters expectations and not in the way that you want them to.
Yeah. Also, we've been getting your thoughts about Nikola Jokic making the NBA, all-NBA first team. As a fan, I'm happy. I'm not sure he's a first-team selection, definitely second team. Doesn't mean I'm not happy for him. Don't think that he doesn't at least deserve the consideration to be on the first team.
Right.
But do you think he was a first-team selection this year? Seems like the consensus that everybody that's been texting in today on the Bob Scott RV team text line thinks that he's a first-team selection. I just don't get how Klay Thompson doesn't make any of these teams. I just don't get that. From our good friend, the Pope, Petey Pope. Good morning, Petey. Good morning, fellas. Joker's a 7-foot point guard who facilitates the offense. He's just scratching the surface with mental toughness to lead a team. Dude ain't ever going to play any defense. LOL. Happy JUCO. Thank you, Petey. Yeah, we're not... Yeah, we should not gauge whether he should be on the NBA All-NBA first team because of his defensive prowess. No, that's not how any of these guys make the All-NBA first team. But look, congratulations to the Joker. First guy to make the All-NBA first team since David Thompson back in 1977-78. And becomes the 7th Nugget, by the way, to make the All-NBA team. And you look at some of the names of guys in the past that have made it for the Nuggets over the course of time. Of course, the great Alex English, tremendous player for the Nuggets back in the 80s. That you look at some of the others who have made that list along with Alex English. Also, David Thompson, 2 first-team honors for the Skywalker. Carmelo Anthony made the second team, made 3 third teams. Chauncey Billups made 1 third team. Alex English made 3 second teams. Fat Lever made 1 second team. Antonio McDice made the third team 1 time. So on the first team, it's Paul George, Steph Curry, James Harden, Giannis Antetokounmpo from Milwaukee, something like that.
Just say freak, freak.
A second team, Joel Embiid, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Damian Lillard, Kyrie Irving. And your third team was Russell Westbrook, Blake Griffin, LeBron James, Rudy Gobert, and Kemba Walker.
Okay.
And basically lost out to Kemba Walker on the third team.
So I looked up the...
referring to Klay Thompson.
I looked up the defensive team, the first team. Rudy Gobert, which I have no problem with. Greek Freak. Paul George also on the first team NBA All-Defensive team.
Okay.
Am I missing something?
Yeah,
Eric,
I'm not so sure about that, but
Eric,
okay.
Eric Bledsoe and Marcus Smart. I don't have a problem with Marcus Smart either. But, yeah. And then the second team is Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, oddly enough, joined by Kawhi Leonard, Joel Embiid, and Holiday, the guard for the Pelicans.
Drew Holiday.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, so there, you know, I don't think, like I said, with the Joker, yeah, he's not going to make any All-NBA defensive teams. That's never going to happen. But glad to see him make the first team. Glad to see him get some recognition. You'd like to see at some point Jamal Murray make one of those teams as well for a second or third All-NBA team. Your thoughts on that today in Texas or call us 970-242-1340. And let's talk a little Alpine Bank Junior College World Series. Gets underway tomorrow. Of course, the banquet is tonight with Tom Bernanski. Tom's going to be pumped about his Twins and what they're doing these days.
And my father, the Twins fan, is going to be a little jealous of me because, you know, I'll get to, obviously, you know, go to the banquet and see him in person. So, in your face, Dad.
Going to get a picture with
I hope.
With Bruno?
Hope.
That'd be nice of you.
I got a picture with last year's speaker, Israel Del Toro.
Yeah, very nice man last year. Great story that Master Sergeant Del Toro had last year. But the tournament gets underway tomorrow. Still plenty of time to get your tickets. You can get them over at Saplesio, but also online, JucoGJ.org, MonumentalEvents.com. Just looking at some of the numbers for the teams coming in, I want to thank Rio for putting this all together, the Buckeye boy, compiling a lot of these numbers. We'll just play a little guessing game with the two of you.
All right.
Okay. Runs allowed. Which team is the best in that category coming into the 10 teams in JUCO? And runs allowed. Who gave up the fewest runs this year?
I'm going to say Walter State.
Monroe.
He gets a Walter State. They were number one in the nation.
Wow.
And runs allowed. Iowa Western, Cali, Monroe, Chatt Valley, Chipola, Navarro, Central Arizona, New Mexico, Connors. ERA. Which team has the best staff ERA coming in?
Chipola.
Iowa Western.
Neither of you. If you would have guessed Walter State again, you would have been correct again. They have the best ERA. Fourth best in the nation, by the way. And earned runs allowed. Let's see. Let's go to some offensive numbers. And let me see. I got to find my sheet with all my offensive numbers on it. And digging through here. Here we go. Yeah, play some Jeopardy music for me. Which team comes in with the best batting average?
Now I'll say Chipola.
Connors.
Chipola's sixth. Connors is fifth. Iowa Western, 361 batting average. New Mexico at 350. Walter State, 347. Which team leads the tournament in home runs coming in?
Iowa Western.
Okay.
Chipola.
Iowa Western is third. Chipola is seventh. New Mexico. Jimmy Durham's team's hit 79 home runs. Walter State has hit 74.
Wow.
Let's go runs per game. Which team is the best offense in runs per game?
Iowa Western.
Okay, Cake's grabbing the phone. So Well, let's go with you. Connors, averaging 9.4 runs per game. Yeah. Walter State's 9.3.
Wow.
Not too shabby, huh?
No.
Which team leads the tournament in hits?
I'm going to say New Mexico.
I'm going to say Iowa Western.
He wins because he's closer to the pin. Walters is number one. New Mexico is number two. You guess Iowa Western?
Yeah.
They're sixth.
Ah.
Yeah. So a few of the numbers to keep an eye on in this Junior College World Series.
But suffice to say that all of those clubs can light up the scoreboard.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely. So you look with Walter State, their pitching has been really, really good. But you also, you think about it, I mean, they've hit 74 home runs. And for David Shelton, it's kind of like, yeah, it's not what that's below our average, what we normally do as a team. That's still a really good number. 74 home runs in the season is not shabby. All right, who do we have in the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line?
Mike from Scottsdale this morning.
From Scottsdale. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good, fellas. Happy Apache Pride.
Oh, and just for that, Mike, of course we have to bring a little Apache. Here we go. There you go. I know you can't hear it, Mike, but if you did, it'd be tougher to talk to us. So trust me, it is playing right now.
Awesome. So Aaron Rodgers and his big fail at drinking beer. Did you see the video of David Bakhtiari?
Yes.
He slammed, what, two or three?
Four of them all together.
That's bold or strong right there.
And he and he looked like he was having a good time doing it.
That was his scholarly learnings in Boulder that helped him out through that challenge.
Are you suggesting that somehow they do some partying over there?
Yeah, we might have done a little bit when I was there.
David Bakhtiari picked up his BC beer consumption at the University of Colorado.
Yeah, so that's how it's done, Aaron. His performance is pretty pathetic. But so I was driving around yesterday. You'll find this interesting. And one of the local sports talk shows here, they were gushing over Vance Joseph as the Cardinals' defensive coordinator. They said he is going to be great.
Let them gush away. Let them gush.
What are you basing that on? You know, we've talked about it before. You look at his performance, you know, even in Miami as a backfield coach, and then obviously the Broncos last year. I don't know what they're basing that on at all.
I have no idea. I do not get that because we played the clip the other day of Sua Cravens, and Sua Cravens has got his own stuff he needs to address, and when you're a healthy scratch, that's not good. But he made the comment, Brandon Marshall is now at the Raiders, both making comments referencing last year of at times that team seeming very ill-prepared. Who does that fall on, Mike, from Scottsdale?
BJ.
It falls on Vance Joseph. Yeah, I don't get it. The Dolphins had when his only time as a defensive coordinator, they were 29th in the league in total defense. How in the hell does that make you this much coveted, ballyhooed defensive guru mastermind? I don't get that. Just
right.
Don't.
Personnel wise, the Cardinals certainly upgraded in the offseason on that side of the ball. But that doesn't mean that Vance Joseph is going to employ them properly. But they were horrible on defense last year, so just about anything is going to be an improvement down there.
Right, but it's too bad these big city sports talk shows don't take calls, because I tried to call in and I'm like, because I just don't know. They said he's going to be great. They're like, he was a better choice than Todd Bowles would have been. And it's like, you're crazy.
Todd Bowles made his bones as a defensive coordinator.
He's been involved with some pretty good defenses. Where's Vance Joseph ever been involved with a really, really good defense? Cincinnati? Really? San Francisco?
I think San Fran would be as close as you get.
Yeah.
When he was a Buff? There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, that's it. That's the answer. Yeah. I don't. Okay, I have to ask you this, because you call in a lot about the Arizona sports talk guys.
Yeah.
What, I mean, are they just totally clueless down there, or do they not read about some of the guys that they hire? And I don't get that, Mike. I don't get that at all.
They're drinking the Kool-Aid. I mean, I think, you know, Vance Joseph does come off. We've heard him as like a player's coach, but then that's what he comes off as. That's his kind of aura. But like you said, now the former players were saying they were in disarray. They, you know, there wasn't structure. But, you know, so I don't get it. I don't get it. They're drinking the Kool-Aid down here, though, because they just think that he's going to be great. You know, and they even brought up the other coaches that the Cardinals were looking at were like Mike Nolan, guys with like proven track records.
Yeah.
But oh no, this is the better choice. again, they must not do their research, because, like, you guys look at the numbers historically when he was a coordinator or even a defensive backs coach, it's just not there to support any optimism.
Okay, in Denver, what happened with the defense? It got worse. It got worse as time went along. It didn't get better.
It got worse.
It got worse. And I know, I get it, he wasn't the defensive coordinator, but he certainly had his input. He set the side of the ball that he came from. It
got worse.
You know,
he had a lot more input on the defense than he did on the offense.
Yeah. I don't get where they're thinking that Vance Joseph is going to all of a sudden make that defense really good, like when they had Calais Campbell, and I don't get that at all. Don't get it. And are they gushing over Kingsbury? They just got to be loving that guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's all going to be milk and honey this year. Just like last year, though. It's funny because they keep playing back how Rosen was in the perfect situation. Mike McCoy was the offensive coordinator, you know, and they thought.
Once again, they apparently don't know jack crap down there.
Right.
Mike McCoy's had one really good stretch. Well, there were times the Chargers offense was pretty good, but then you had Phillip Rivers, and, you know, that's not a bad place to start. In Denver, yeah, when he worked with PFM, yeah. But outside of that, he was a dumpster fire in Denver when he came back to be the OC.
Right.
And he ended up being a dumpster fire here last year.
Yeah, I felt bad for Josh Rosen. I thought he was in a
bad
spot.
There wasn't a lot to work with down there last year, though. I mean,
yeah, there just wasn't much for him. I mean, outside of Larry Fitzgerald.
Who's collecting Social Security and still catching balls.
David Johnson, not the player that he was before the knee injury.
David Johnson. I'm sorry.
Good, really, really good player before he got hurt.
Yeah.
And now, last year, just wasn't the same guy. I don't get it. I don't get it all.
It's always fun, though, to listen. It's entertaining to listen to them because, yeah, like you say, they're clueless.
Well, we say clueless stuff, too. I mean, we do, but we at least, for the most part, try to have some kind of facts to back up what we're talking about.
Right.
I mean, sometimes our opinions, you know, maybe are a bit clouded by our bias over somebody.
Yep.
Like,
hey, Mark, can I throw you a bone, Mark?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is Grubauer the long-term solution between the pipes for the Avalanche?
Well, he's going to have to be.
They're going to go out and find somebody else.
He's going to have to be because the farm system is absolutely bereft of top-end talent right now. Varlamov gone, obviously. If they can sign Pavel Francouz from the AHL Colorado Eagles, who's only on a one-year deal there, it will attract attention from other clubs. They will do so and bring him in as the backup. Barring that, they're going to have to bring in an unrestricted free agent to back up Grubauer.
Anybody out there that's worth signing?
There's a ton of guys, but you know, the problem with veteran goaltenders is that they're veterans and people expect them to, you know, to catch fire right away in a new city, and sometimes it doesn't work out. I'll say this: aside from goaltending, Joe Sakic has done an admirable job of building that system. But drafting goaltenders is a little like drafting pitchers, and sometimes or maybe even place kickers. It's just hard to do.
Right. All right,
Mark, well, or Mike. I'm sorry, looking at Mark, and I said, Mike, great to hear from you. Congratulations to your daughter on her graduation from CU.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Congrats.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. So you guys have a great Friday, and enjoy your JUCO.
We will. We will enjoy it. Thank you, Mike. Take care.
We'll see ya.
All right, Mike from Scottsdale this morning. What are they? They haven't legalized weed in Arizona yet, have they? Because what are they smoking down there? They think Vance Joseph's going to make that like the 85 Bears or something.
You know what, though? Wouldn't it be weird if the joke was, in fact, on us and he turned that thing around down there?
Yep, good for him.
Right.
What? I'll take my chances on being wrong. You know, I'll take my chances
on that.
I'll
take that bet, yeah.
Occasionally, I'll go out on a limb, like the Brooks Koepka thing, surpassing Tiger. I'll go out on a limb on stuff like that. But facts back up Vance Joseph and his incompetence as a head coach and a defensive coordinator.
One dumpster fire you might be able to overlook. Several, especially in consecutive years, where the defense got worse, The defense got worse. Think about that. That doesn't happen very often.
And I get it. They lost some pieces.
Yeah.
But still, a defense, while it didn't fall from top of the mountain into the bottom of the canyon, it slid downhill a long, long ways from where it was. And just the constant sense of disarray, of Kevin Bacon in Animal House, and Vance Joseph, all is well, and getting trampled to death. That was the feeling you had watching him coach that team.
You know what? Maybe the Cardinals have been having good weeks of practice.
You know what? That could be the case. Do you think maybe a little VJ talk has gotten into the ear of Cliff Kingsbury?
He's a leader of men. We had a really good OTA.
That's right.
All right, Cardinals are back.
They are back, baby.
Remain calm.
Yeah.
All is well.
He tried that in Denver. Good luck, Cardinals. Good luck with that.
Can I have 10,000 marbles, please?
Bob Scott, RV Team Text Line. There's so many great lines in that film. Dalton, after hearing the stats, New Mexico and Walter State have my vote. Anyone but Iowa Western, please. Aha. Oh, don't like the Reavers. Oh, Dalton. Wow. Okay.
Ooh. Well,
Mark Reardon's not going to like that.
Sustained success breeds animosity. It's a fact.
It's like when Wayne Graham brought San Jack here and they won 5 titles. Yeah, the people that were the Gator haters that just could not wait for San Jack to lose. And some of that still continues on. But this year, they will not have the chance to hate on the Gators because they are not in the tournament this year. A couple of other quick things. JUCO leader-wise going into the tournament. Zach Hogenson. Let's see. That's not the number I want to use. He leads in game started, by the way. That was one I'm like, why am I talking about that one? Congratulations to Zach. He's in game started, he is the leader. And he's also had a really good year for Central Arizona, too. But as far as batting average, Jaden Rolfs of Iowa Western comes in with the best batting average in the tournament. 476 for Iowa Western, 6th in the nation. Cody Milligan for Cali College, 2nd in that department. Cody Milligan leads in stolen bases coming in with 27. You also have home runs. Ronald Sweeney, the 3rd. Looking forward to saying that. Ronald Sweeney, the 3rd, hitting a home run. Leads in the tournament, 15 home runs. Finished 15th nationally. And let's see. Looking for RBIs on here. Ribbies runs bat in. David Mendham of Connor State finished 2nd in the nation. He drove in 84 this year. He is the leader in that category. So some of the numbers, some of the leaders coming into the Junior College Baseball World Series. All right, 924. Jim along with Cake and Buffalo Mark. Somebody's going to win Qdoba today and also Fat Tire. Thanks to your contributions to the program on the text line. Brought to you by Bob Scott RV, 970-242-1340. Coming up next, love birthdays. But also, sometimes a program and a conference can be just so dominant that everybody gets sick of them, and everybody else in the conference says, you've got to go.
I think I know what you're talking about.
We've had that situation happen in college football. We will get into that next on the Jim Davis Show. On the team, Colorado sports leader.
The Jim Davis Show.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
On in Grand Junction, 101.1 and 1340, the Team Sports Network.
Now's the time to get a hot deal on a new Silverado at Ed Bozar Chevrolet. Get more out of your summer and pay less. Right now, save up to $12,000 off MSRP on the all-new 2019 Chevy Silverado. MSRP $46,895, sale price just $34,498. Experience the rugged reliability and proven performance of Silverado and save with the season's deepest discount. Find new roads at the number one selling Chevy dealer in Colorado, Ed Bozar's Mark Miller Chevrolet Buick, 2595 Highway 6 and 50, Silverado stock number 12395, see dealer for details.
When you're enjoying the game at Stoker Stadium or Walker Field Stadium or playing at the Montrose Rec Center, take a look around. Each one of those is a Cookies Mechanical project. Imagine the guidelines they had during construction. Those contractors trusted Cookies Mechanical to complete the project on time, on budget, and safely. And you can count on Cookies to bring you the same level of experience and expertise to your plumbing, heating, or gas piping project. Call Cookies Mechanical 245-0171 online at cookeys.com.
Team weather.
Partly sunny in the Grand Valley and Delta today, high near 66, 63 in Montrose. Mostly clear 44 tonight. Sunny tomorrow, high near 75. Sunday, sunny and 78. Monday, partly sunny and 66.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
So excited to get things going? We might fall start. It's the Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the team.
.927, Jim Long with Cake and Buffalo Mark from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Who are you rooting for at JUCO? Also, hot dog or hamburger? I'm always a hamburger first guy. I will have both, though. Oh, there's no doubt that I will have both at a barbecue. Sounds like it could be a bit chilly for a barbecue on Monday. 66 expected high for Memorial Day.
Might see some showers, too, Monday. We'll see.
Yeah. Hopefully nothing that sticks around for very long.
You know what, though? We talked about it last year. Last year being in the triple digits by this time. I'm glad it's going to be in the 70s this weekend and 66 Monday, because you know what? For fans going to watch JUCO, sitting there in 100-plus degrees, it's not always fun.
Yeah, I remember we used to do the games behind home plate. In that press box, we see it out there at the ballpark. We used to be in that one. There's a little air conditioner in there that took it down from like 110 to 105. It really, really cooled things off. Thank goodness we're in the tower these days. But I was going to tell the story yesterday, and we got off on other things, that Bob Barstow used to be our statistician. We used to have Bob come up, and before they had really a quote official statistician for the tournament, Bob just did it for us. And Bob was the stat guy for Chris and the guys over at Mesa for years. Talking about a baseball lifer, that was the late Bob Barstow. And so Bob would come up during JUCO and would do stats for us. Well, up in that booth, there's not a restroom.
Oh, no.
And so doing a game one day, calling a game, and I look over and I see Mr. Barstow relieving himself in the trash can.
Oh, no.
And I have to turn off my mic. Of course, my color guy was talking. I go, Bob, you can't do that. You can't go to the bathroom with a trash can up here. It's like, well, I had to go, Jim. Bob was getting up there, elderly gentleman. And I thought, he was like, hey, you got to go. And then he did. And boy, the booth did not smell particularly good after Mr. Barstow did that. But there was one time, too, where Bob, because he was an elderly gentleman, he would occasionally nod off during the game.
Boy.
And I looked over, and Bob's asleep. Bob's nodded off. And Bob used all these different colored pencils to keep stats and everything. And I looked over there. He did not miss a play. I don't know how. He did not miss a pitch. Because he got pitch counts. Did not miss. Because I'm looking. He had to miss something there. And I look over, and it's like, I'll be damned. He did not miss a single pitch or an out.
That's how you know.
In that 10 minutes or 15 minutes that he looked like he was out, that guy must have been writing it in his sleep. That was just, he was such a cool guy. He had so many great stories. Such a fun guy. I know Chris and the guys over at Mesa miss Bob. We all do here in the baseball community. But yeah, didn't miss a play. Looks like he's dead of the world sleep. Didn't look like he missed a play. All right. this is an interesting story. It's on The Athletic, and it's on a lot of other media sources as well, about University of St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota. Powerhouse Division III football program. Very, very successful in the Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. But their dominance was not appreciated by everybody else in the conference because they had been beating teams left and right. Matter of fact, they had won the men's and women's all-sports titles in each of the past 12 seasons, 11 of 22 regular season titles, and their football dominance just part of that. Their football program had been beating people by an average of 40 points a game. And so the rest of the members of that particular conference decided on Wednesday they'd had enough of the University of St. Thomas beating their brains in, and they voted to have them involuntarily removed from the 13-member conference so they could have better athletic competitive parity.
It makes it sound like they were dragged out by like a cop or a bailiff. Involuntarily removed.
Involuntarily removed.
From the premises.
So pretty much the other members of the conference, instead of saying, I'm taking my ball and going home, said, we're taking your ball and you're leaving.
And you can go find another ball to play with someplace else. Now, they will be in the conference for two more years, 2021, while they look for a new conference to join.
Now, it has to be noted as well that their enrollment is at least double the next largest school in that conference.
Matter of fact, one person close to the league said, members just felt like they didn't look like us anymore because of it's triple more than some schools in terms of enrollment. That didn't look like a small Division III institution, which is what our membership is made up of.
Well, because, you know, athletic spending is commensurate with enrollment at these three schools, especially because these three schools can't hand out scholars.
Yeah.
So it was all about resources and workout facilities and stuff like that, and that attracts better athletes because they can afford to do it because their enrollment is so huge.
And the comment was made that if St. Thomas stayed, that at some point the conference would cease to exist. That they just can't compete with them. The only one particular school, though, and one program was not happy about this decision. That's St. John's, which was the biggest rival to St. Thomas in that league. They've won a lot of football games, been very, very successful. Yes. So their football coach was not happy, that school not happy that St. Thomas was going to leave. So,
well, to be quite honest, I'm not okay with the other schools voting to give them the boot, unless this was sort of a last resort. Now, the article that I'm looking at here, which is from Sports Illustrated, doesn't mention whether or not St. Thomas was actually approached by the other conference members, or whether it sounds like there was like a secret meeting in the middle of the night.
A conclave,
yeah.
And they all got together with a secret password someplace and
said, okay, let's boot them. Now, if that occurred, that's wrong. But
Which is what it sounds like, though.
Right, it does. But should St. Thomas be penalized for being that much better?
It's tough when that school has obviously built itself up to be something more than what a D3 program normally is. And now what's going to happen going forward? So now games they've won by 40? Are they going to win by 50, 60? Are they going to, you know, because you have to think they called the dogs off a lot of times, right?
Right. Well, they're not going to know.
Are they going to say, well, the heck with that? We're going to go put 100 up on you.
Yeah. And they might be able to. So what's next? Clemson and Alabama and Oklahoma are all going to get the boot from their conferences? Especially Clemson? Because there's nobody in that conference that can hang with Clemson.
Yeah. I tend to think, no, I think the D1 situation certainly is different than this. But I don't like how this was handled.
Yeah. And it certainly reeks to a good point of more than a bit of jealousy.
Pettiness.
Stop beating us.
And here's the thing that's kind of fascinating, too. They didn't actually vote on this. Now, 9 of the league's 13 teams would have needed to vote to remove St. Thomas. According to The Athletic, and someone that's close to the conference said that no actual vote took place, but everyone understood what was happening and an agreement was worked out. So it sounds like they all the rest of the teams in that conference said, we don't want them here anymore. And then it's like, hey, Joe, you make the call to St. Thomas and tell them, you know what? We've decided you are no longer welcome in our conference. The rest of us have discussed this. We didn't actually vote, but we don't want you here anymore.
Right.
In the case of like high school football, you see where a team's success now is part of where it is classification-wise. It's the regional proximity or where it's in a conference or classification. It's success. Is this a case now where, or St. Thomas, because they've grown to being as big as they are, that are they going to be forced into moving up into maybe Division II in the NCAA?
What I would say is,
should they be NCAA Division II?
I think they should, and I have the perfect conference for them to join. So the first school I ever went to was Wayne State College. They played in the Northern Sun Intercollegiate Conference, and they have a lot of teams out of Minnesota, a lot of good teams too, Minnesota State, Mankato, which was a team that I think 3 or 4 years ago was in the national championship for D2. They've got Bemidji State, a lot of those like Midwestern teams. So I would put them there because that school, St. Thomas, enrollment numbers are about where those other schools in that conference would be. It's regional enough. I think that would, if they're going to go D2, I would put them in the NSIC.
But that's if they decide that's what they want to do.
And that's a huge financial commitment.
Yeah, it is.
Going from 3 to 2 is harder than going from 2 to 1.
Because you got scholarships now. D3 doesn't offer scholarships.
That's right.
D2 does. And even here in town, Colorado Mesa, from a football standpoint, you know, Russ has worked really hard with fundraising. The college has worked really hard to try to get him fully funded. And it's gotten closer. It's not all the way there yet, but that's a big financial obligation to take on.
Yeah.
And just to kind of highlight the football dominance, St. Thomas, 30-2 in league play since 2015, made the D3 national title game in 2012-2015. As I mentioned, the margin of victory the last 2 years, 40 points per game in their conference. But I just don't like the way it was. It seems catty, doesn't it? You'd think that there would have been, and I'm sure there probably were some discussions among university presidents, among ADs, but it just seemed like you got a group of jealous kids. Yeah. Johnny's too fast, too strong, too big, too tough. We don't want him playing with us anymore. So we're gonna boot him out of our group that plays at lunchtime.
Yep.
It just smacks of that way too much. I don't know, it just seemed to me that I get why they're frustrated, and D3 is a different athletics are certainly, they hold a different place in an institution's makeup at D3.
The hierarchy is different.
Yeah, because of the lack of scholarships. It just seemed like that was the wrong way to handle it. You guys have gotten too good, so get out of here. All right, 9:39. Jim along with Cake and Buffalo Mark. Let's get to the birthdays. All right, start things out with celebrity birthdays today. And today is the birthday of the legendary, the immortal, Bob Dylan. It's Bob Dylan's birthday today.
Yes or no on Dylan?
No. I say immortal and legendary because he has attained that kind of status. He's 77, by the way. I can't say I'm a huge fan. Everybody must. I love his connection with Tom Petty. I'm a huge Tom Petty fan. He's great in the Traveling Wilburys. There are songs like You Gotta Serve Somebody, I think, Blood on the Tracks from Dylan, that I always like, but I'm the first to admit, I am not a big Bob Dylan fan.
Wasn't that Slow Train Coming?
Or is that Slow Train Coming?
Yeah, I think it's Slow Train Coming.
See, that's how ill-informed I am about Bob Dylan's discography.
I'm not certain, no, I don't.
Yeah, I don't. I just, tremendous songwriter, iconic talent, just
He's lost his voice for sure.
I've never been impressed with Bob Dylan.
I'll say this.
He just never resonated with me anyway.
Tweeter and the Monkey Man, one of my favorite songs.
Oh, awesome song.
Incredible song.
Great song. Traveling Wilburys.
Yeah, exactly.
Song. And Tom would do that song in concert, and Tom Petty, of course,
right.
He did a great version of it, but hey, Bob's version of it's great on with Traveling Wilburys.
Right.
It's the other birthdays today. Priscilla Presley is 73 today. We're talking about NFL players using marijuana. Tommy Chong. Maybe he could be brought as a special counselor to the NFL on their drug.
A marijuana consultant.
He could be the marijuana czar for the NFL.
There's only two Cheech and Chong recorded skits that I find funny. One is Earache My Eye, which is hysterical. And the other one is It's Dave, you know. Dave's not here, man. No, this is Dave. Dave's not here, man.
He's not here, man. Tommy Chong is 80 today. Let's see. Who else do we have birthday-wise? The rapper Heavy D would have celebrated a birthday today. And as far as your sports birthdays today in baseball, Brad Penny's birthday. Also, the birthday today in basketball, Tracy McGrady, Joe Dumars, Mitch Kupchak. In football, it is the birthday of Tony Jones, one-time Broncos offensive lineman. Pete Metzelaar's longtime Buffalo Bills tight end.
Pete the Cat.
Jim Mora Sr. celebrates a birthday today. And Mike Reed. If I remember correctly, Mike Reed played for Cincinnati.
Yeah, he did play for Cincinnati.
And then you have NASCAR, Joey Logano. Chip Ganassi celebrates a birthday today. And hockey, Pat Verbeek. It's his birthday today. All right, 9:43. And we'll take a break. We'll come back. Cake's going to pick a winner for Pat Tire today and also Qdoba. And we'll return some garbage time. I think we have quite a few things we can go sifting through the dumpster for today. We'll have that coming up next, along with more of your text on the Bob Scott RV Team text line, 970-242-1340. The Jim Davis Show on the Team, Colorado's sports leader.
The Jim Davis Show.
Well, it's amazing, and I love it.
On in Delta 102.1 and Montrose 100.1, the Team Sports Network. Here's the latest from the Team Sports Desk.
Good morning, I'm Jim Davis. The Rockies couldn't get the sweep in Pittsburgh Thursday afternoon. They fell to the Pirates 14-6 in the third game of that series. Rockies take 2 out of 3. They're at home tonight to take on Baltimore. Pregame at 6 tonight on the Team Sports Network. Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic is considered one of the rising stars in the NBA, and a selection of the All-NBA team adds to the growing resume. Jokic was named to the All-NBA first team and is the first Denver Nuggets player to make the All-NBA first team since David Thompson in 1977-78. He's the seventh Nugget to be named to the All-NBA team. While the Junior College World Series gets started tomorrow in Grand Junction, the Colorado Mesa baseball team's quest for the D2 World Series continues tonight in San Angelo, Texas. The Mavericks won the South Central Region 1 tournament and face Angelo State in a Super Regional tournament. Mavs skipper Chris Hanks says their pitchers will face a test against the Rams' bats.
Well, they've been one of the most, if not the most, offensive teams in the nation the entire year. They've led several categories, batting average. They're in the top 4 in the country in stolen bases. They're very athletic. They're very fast throughout their lineup.
The winner of the best 2 out of 3 tournament moves on to the D2 World Series in Cary, North Carolina. 1100 KNZZ will have tonight's game with pregame at 5:45. And longtime Central assistant wrestling coach Clint Torrio has taken over as the Warriors' new head wrestling coach. Colorado Mesa softball player Anne-Marie Torres is an All-American. The Mavericks' first baseman was named to the All-America first team by the National Fast Pitch Coaches and Collegiate Commissioners Association. Teammate Kayla Jacoby was an honorable mention selection.
This is Bomar Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute. Scattered thunderstorms are currently in the forecast for Sunday's Indy 500. Obviously, if it's raining, we are not going to run the Indianapolis 500. Then we'll have to decide what the next steps are, said Indianapolis Motor Speedway President Doug Bowles, adding, it's Indiana weather. If you don't know, 35-year-old Frenchman Simone Pagenaud is the pole setter and favorite. Meantime, due to his team's incompetence, 2-time Formula One world champion Fernando Alonso stunningly failed to qualify. He was barely beaten out by 23-year-old Kyle Kaiser in a sponsor car that was literally put together in a heroic all-nighter the night before qualifying. The sentimental favorite, though, is 32-year-old Marco Andretti. 50 years ago, his grandfather, the legendary Mario Andretti, won the Indy 500. Since then, Andretti's sons, Michael and Jeff, nephew John, and grandson Marco have gone 0-for-73 starts at the Brickyard. Good luck to all. I'm Boomer Esiason.
When you're a pro, your reputation is built and proven over time. That's why the Home Depot carries Loctite PL Premium Max Adhesive, the strongest on the market. Durable, gets the job done right, and holds up over time. Right now, get 12 or more for the full price of only $7.97 each. Loctite PL Premium Max. More strength, durability, and job done right for less. At the Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Minimum purchase required, U.S. only.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at USPS.com/future.
Think about the people you trust. Cookies Mechanical builds trust every day with every project they do. CMU, City Market, the VA Hospital, Stoker Stadium, Gateway Canyon Resorts, all trusted Cookies Mechanical for their projects. Whether your project is residential, remodel, or new commercial construction, you can trust Cookies and their 35 years of experience and expertise. You have plenty of choices, but who do you really trust for your project? Call Cookies Mechanical 245-0171 online at cookeys.com.
I'm Libby Pelletier in the KMDZ News Center. Some relief from robocalls could be coming with the passage of a U.S. Senate bill co-sponsored by Colorado Senator Cory Gardner. It requires phone companies to implement a system to make sure calls are legitimate and increases fines for individuals who succeed in making robocalls and spoofing callback numbers. The bill is now in the U.S. House. How do you catch a fish without fishing? If you have a Colorado fishing license, you can get in line and pick up a walleye fillet at Rifle Gap State Park June 1st. CPW harvests the fish every year as part of the lake's management plan, fillets, freezes, and vacuum seals them. 216 walleye fillets are being given away on a first-come, first-served basis on the 1st. Good news for Colorado ranchers. Japan has canceled the last restriction placed on imported U.S. beef over mad cow disease concerns, increasing potential sales of beef to Japan by $200 million annually. Colorado's the fifth largest international exporter of beef among U.S. states. I'm Libby Pelletier in the KNZZ News Center.
Western Colorado's home of the Rockies, the Team Sports Network. Jim Davis Show.
The meat in the broadcasting sandwich.
Ew. On Grand Junction 101.1 and 1340, the Team Sports Network.
949, Jim along with Cake, Buffalo Mark, and the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Have you picked a couple of winners today?
I have. I am writing their names down as we speak.
Okay. Can you tell me who those folks are?
Yes, Josh and Rich today getting Qdoba and beer.
Congratulations.
Not to be confused with Big and Rich.
Right, no, yeah, the country act, Big and Rich. From Guru Gary, 2002, I think, Mesa County Fairgrounds. It's when Bob Dylan played here, and Dave Alvin was on lead guitar. Tangled Up in Blue, classic night. I didn't go to the concert because I'm just not a Dylan fan. And I'm trying to think, was Bill Walton? I thought Bill Walton, I'd heard from somebody, might have been here to see that concert at the Mesa County Fairgrounds. I think that's one of those urban legend things.
Fairgrounds of Champions.
Yeah, like the time Sean Penn was downtown at some bars because he was shooting a film over in Moab. And had to come to the big city of Grand Junction, I guess, to air quotes, to find a watering hole, I guess. Let's see, from Paul, a beer and a dog. Paul, now coming to you from the Highlands in Grand Junction. Okay, the Highlands, where would that be, Paul?
I'm not sure.
Would it be on Orchard Mesa, since they are...
Or on the Mesa? Redlands?
Or on the Redlands?
Or up on Glade Park?
Yeah.
There you go.
From Andy, that booth was so hot. Yeah, I think Andy Zansky helped us do some JUCO games back then. Yeah, it was hot. Or at least Andy was up there anyway. It was a scorcher in that booth. From Rob, rooting for Connors, I heard they haven't made it past Tuesday in the past. Go Oklahoma. Sadly for Perry Keith and Connors State, that's correct. They'll play on Sunday, so this will be, because of the bracket change, this will be their first time to play know, they start out the tournament on a Sunday and a chance to maybe stick around a little bit longer. But, yeah, it's always unfortunately been a quick exit for the Cowboys. They're hoping that's not the case this time around. Andy confirming Bill Walton was out at the concert. Met him at Boston's. So Bill Walton was in town. That's cool. I'd love to meet Bill Walton. It'd just be a very disjointed conversation, I'm sure, because that's Bill Walton, right?
Yep.
Just all over the place. Not that I'm not occasionally all over the place myself in discussing certain things. All right, so just to let you know about Colorado Mesa, just a quick reminder for you that we'll have the Mavericks, Angelo State, over on 1100 KNZZ. That is tonight, 5:45. The folks at the radio station down in San Angelo are going to help us out with that because of all of our commitments to the Junior College World Series. We'll have that game tonight. All the Mesa games will be on 1100 KNZZ, 92.7 FM here in the Grand Valley. And we also have... I'm going to grab my stuff up here.
Ah, there it is.
There. Grab
oh,
that.
No!
In Delta, 97.1. And in Montrose, you can listen to KNZZ, 93.5. So we're on the FM in those places as well. But you can hear the Mavericks tonight. Once again, 5:45 on 1100 KNZZ with the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series starting tomorrow morning at 8:20 on the Team JUCO Radio Network. Okay, let's wrap things up. A little dumpster diving this morning.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
Okay, this is a really, really sad way to lose a baseball game. This comes from the SEC baseball tournament.
You
had Auburn and LSU taking on each other. Bottom of the ninth, one out, runners on second and third. Auburn's up 3-2 in the game. Pitch bounces in front of the plate. The catcher can't find the ball. He's panicking. He kicks the ball into foul territory. And then everyone, you know, trying to get to the ball. Both runners come around to score. LSU walks off 4-3 on a ball. The catcher kicks into foul territory.
Poor Auburn.
Yeah, I know. That's, it's breaking your heart.
That's terrible. Speaking of LSU, all-world, all-conference cornerback Kelvin Joseph enters the transfer portal, leaving Baton Rouge. They will be lined up 9 deep to sign this kid.
College football free agency.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what it is. What do you have?
Common punching bag on this show, Mike Francesa, believes. He believes that TV weathermen or women, meteorologists, lie about the weather so that people don't cancel holiday travel plans because he believes that meteorologists are in the pocket of big travel.
Of course they are.
Big travel?
I've never heard of big travel before, but okay.
How about big idiot?
That would be Mike Francesa, I believe. Toronto's Fred VanVleet had a really bad shooting slump going into the series with the Milwaukee Bucks. But then his wife gave birth to little Fred Jr. Ever since then, Fred Sr. has been tearing it up. Ever since Fred Jr. was born, 12 of 19 from the field and 10 of 12 from three-point range for the Toronto Raptors.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. Speaking of basketball, don't look now, but Penny Hardaway getting work done at Memphis. They locked down the number one recruiting class in the country, men's basketball, of course, supplanting perennial number one, Duke. They signed 4 players in the top 30.
And I would have never thought Penny Hardaway would be a head coach. This didn't seem like that was something that he was ever, cut out to do necessarily. But he's been, we know he can recruit the coaching part well, but he can recruit. We know that.
And also college basketball recruiting. Don't look now. University of Washington signs 2 of the top 7 recruits in the country.
Well, Pac-12 basketball needs a little kick in the pants.
Right.
No doubt about that. All right, that's our show. We're off on Monday. We'll be back with you on Tuesday. For Cake and for Buffalo Mark, I'm Jim. We'll see you at the Junior College Baseball World Series.